Special thanks to our friends over at TrueCar for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial is going to last. You know what else you can do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions, and you'll get an accurate, true cash offer from your local certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions and get the answers you need, and there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yes, Rob and Akiva need a podcast. This is the show with a wheel full of podcast ideas submitted by the listeners, where we spin it every single week and talk about whatever idea comes up. And we're ready to do that once again with a man that I've known for several years. We podcast all of Seinfeld together. He's the podcaster's podcaster. Please welcome the great Akiva Winokur.
You didn't say my age or my profession.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, what would you say your profession is? You're a researcher? Is that what would you give yourself as a title?
No, I just work for a tech startup. A researcher, I think, would be when I was at NBC. That would be my title.
A former researcher, but still a researcher for many subjects. The world's oldest millennial. Here he is, ready to talk about everything.
Really, my job is being a dad, right? Shouldn't I say that? Wouldn't that give me some like brownie points my wife can hear? My job is parenting my four children.
If that was your occupation, as sort of like you were the primary caretaker of them, from what I understand of the dynamics of your house, I would not say that being a dad is your job.
Some would argue I'm not even the secondary caretaker, because my 13-year-old daughter claims that she, you know, helps out more.
Yes. All right. Akiva, so we are here today to talk about Judge Judy. We are judging Judy here on episode number 16 of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Are you pumped up?
I am. I feel like this is, even though the show is still on, it does feel like we're going back to like the beginning of the 2000s. Like the show does feel stuck in a time. It would blow my mind if like even like an iPhone or just any modern convenience was even mentioned on this type of show.
Yeah. In the episode we watched, it did seem like the guy had a Kindle Fire on the table based on the quick view I got of it. But yeah, it might be interesting to see like a sort of side by side Judge Judy episode from 1997 and a Judge Judy episode from 2017 and see just how different things look. It's timeless.
I mean, they could have filmed like 10,000 of them in 2000 and she could be retired at this point with, you know, just like hundreds of episodes in the bank.
Very possible. So that's what we're going to talk about here today. We watched three different Judge Judy cases and we will be talking about them here today. And I don't know exactly what our mission is here as we judge Judy or are judging Judy, but we will talk about all the court cases that we saw.
I mean, I guess we should. There's three cases that we watched. I guess we should like our main thing is, did she rule correctly?
Okay.
Or not.
All right. So and of course, that as amateur lawyers that we are well qualified to come in and tell Judge Judy what she did or did not do correctly. So that's what's coming up here today on the podcast. Last week, I explained the Star Wars Skywalker saga to Akiva, and I feel like that we received, for the most part, high marks.
Oh, yeah. People really think that you did a great job explaining the Star Wars universe.
Good. I'm glad. I know that some people were worried that we were going to come in and it was going to be a Star Wars bashing podcast.
I think that would have been the wrong tactic to take and people would have really been mad.
Yeah. I do have some retractions from last week's episode of some things in the retelling that I got wrong that were sent to me by a number of people, including a noted Star Wars fan, Tyler Fredrickson, who listened to the podcast and had some things that I did get wrong last week. Some of those include, I had said that Obi-Wan Kenobi killed some of the sand people when he was rescuing Luke Skywalker. He did not. He just scared them away. So that was my bad.
Okay.
Also, I said that Yoda was 800 years old. He is 900 years old.
So really getting into nitpicking here. Okay.
I said that Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker kissed in the wrong movie. I think that was my worst mistake, that I said that they kissed in A New Hope. And
it was still incest, though, right?
It was still incest, but I had the kiss in the wrong spot in the trilogy. I did not go back and watch the films. She actually kissed Luke Skywalker on the Millennium Falcon in the first part of The Empire Strikes Back in front of Han Solo, so possibly just with the intention of pissing off Han Solo. So I do apologize about that. I also said the Abominable Snowman did not have a name. He does, or she does. It is called a Wampa. And so that was the
Jessica Lee said that the reason that I think it's an unofficial name, because it's not mentioned in the show.
Yeah,
it's not maybe canon.
Yes, that's probably the name of the action figure. So that is the bulk of the retractions. I'm sure there are some other ones that I missed, but that is the bulk of it.
Okay, yeah, some of those did sound fishy, so I'm glad you know, I didn't, like, Yoda, he's really 800, he seems older, so I'm glad that he's actually 900.
So we'll talk about that, and then we'll have to see if, in episode number 25, if the Star Wars prequels, Rob Explains the Star Wars prequels, is eligible to go onto the wheel.
There was definitely demand for it already, so I think it's probably looking good.
Okay, all right. So we will talk about that 9 episodes from now, whether or not that's going to be back in the mix. But I guess let's get into our feature presentation today, talking about Judge Judy, Judging Judy. Do you remember, how did this even come to be as a podcast?
I have no idea. I really don't remember. I was just trying to think of it before. I have no idea. It might have been my idea. Mm-hmm. I know the name Judging Judy was my idea. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who thought of it. Was it, you know, we had a listener help us out who's a big Judge Judy stan.
How did you know that she reached out to you after we first mentioned it on the podcast?
After we mentioned it, she said, you're not going to believe it, but I'm like the Judge Judy fan, a listener, Christine.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, she has every episode, and she could say, because these episodes are hard to find. Judge Judy, let's start with this. Judy Shanlon makes $147 million a year. And part of that deal is that these episodes are not available online. Like, maybe a best of highlights clip you could find on YouTube, but these episodes are not like on CBS.com or something. You can't just find them.
Not a big market for people binging Judge Judy.
I'd say A, not a big market for people binging it, and B, Judge Judy wants all the money to herself. She doesn't want anybody watching it online. She wants people to watch those daytime commercials for Life Alert.
Yes. So what is the key demo for Judge Judy?
Stay-at-home people, generally. I'd say the listener, Christine, who sent it in, is probably the youngest person who watches it regularly. Person. Yes.
Yeah. It does seem like that when you hit around 70, it seems like I got to check in on what Judge Judy is doing for the legal system. It seems like Matlock, that does seem to be a thing of the older people get, the more they want to, you know, see court drama.
Well, I just think daytime TV in general skews pretty old, but a show like Judge Judy, you know, there's plenty of people who are, you know, maybe young to middle-aged parents who are home, you know, during the day, but I don't know if Judy is their go-to. I do think my grandfather's wife, my step-grandma, is, she worships Judge Judy. Like, Judge Judy was bigger than Oprah to her. You know, she Judge Judy is her person. She wishes she could be Judge Judy.
Keeve, can I pitch you on an idea?
Yeah, of course.
It's called Millennial Judge.
Okay.
Okay.
So far, I'm in.
It's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
You like it so far?
So far, I'm in, but I want to hear a little more.
Deals with lots of cases from young people. They bring stuff in. There are some of them. They're on, like, they're not even there. They're Skyping in to Millennial Judge.
Is Skype really big with the kids nowadays?
Like on FaceTime or Instagram Live or something like that. Snapchat.
Yeah, they're snapping in. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You like this? I mean, basically, we're turning this whole thing up on its head.
Is the judge a millennial?
Yeah.
Okay, and now is the judge like a lawyer? Does the judge have any credentials, or is it just like is it more of an advice column type thing?
I think that they could have gone to law school. Maybe the judge is in law school.
How about this last semester in law school?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like, you know, because people who are like the end of medical school or law school, they're like the most excited to like help you with like a problem or like say that they're a lawyer or a doctor. You know, once you're actually in the profession, it's not as exciting anymore and you get paid to do it. But like when you're at the end of law school or any graduate school, you think that you're that profession ready.
Mm-hmm.
So what if it's like Ali Lasher. It's like last semester of law school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they're fine. So they're the judge. They're like almost an expert.
Okay.
They still have to pass their like their last class. So they're the judge. Are they a judge? Do we call them judge?
I think we call them judge, but with no U.
J-D-G-E?
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
So we can get the website.
Is the U, like, could it, I'm trying to think, like, what we, yeah, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or maybe it's an app. Maybe it's an app and people just, call
Nobody's
in.
Nobody's going to watch the app,
Well, no, that's how that you get your cases into the judge's pending case file.
What if there's a judge, but the judge, similar to like a criminal case, like doesn't rule the audience? You know, Netflix might not be the ideal venue for this because
fan vote?
Netflix doesn't do live stuff. It's a fan vote, and that's where the app comes in. You download the app, $8.99 a month, like the Friends has app. You download the app.
Well, why do you need a judge if the judge is like the umpire?
Well, the judge is almost like the Jeff Probst. They're just moving the show along. Mm. They're the umpire, but they're not making the final decision. And then you vote for who's right. But so now these are not like petty theft, small claims court things. These are these millennial issues.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a small claims court for millennials. I think it's like.
Okay. You know, so it's like this person, we went out to eat seven times and like I've paid all seven times.
And they never Venmo'd me the money
like
and they said they were going to.
Okay. Yeah. Eat too much avocado toast. All right. I mean, I think this is a good idea. But this isn't an RANAP idea. This is, I mean, it could be.
I would be okay with if.
But I think the money here is if we could pitch this to Netflix. Do you know anybody at Netflix?
No. But it seems like they say yes to everything based on.
It is true. Don't you think I don't want to blame the listeners here. But like if we had one listener who worked for, you know, like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or Apple or something, they could really help us out. If they want to write in.
Okay.
If you're a listener and you like have buying power for a network, Rob and I definitely want to speak to you.
This is how hits happen. I mean, you take something that works and then you like twist it a little bit. Judge Judy is for old people. It's only on in the daytime. You can't watch it online. Okay. So let's take what works, this, judge small claims court. Let's make it for young people. Let's put it online. Let's really turn the whole thing on its head.
Do you think, in terms of a host, do you think... my 32 Fans podcast co-host Chester, do you think he'd be a good TV host or no?
What's his Q rating?
His Q rating is zero. Q rating is Q rating is an awareness. Q rating is positivity versus negativity, right?
I think it's how likable you are to the TV audience.
I was thinking how well known, like how famous you are, because that. Yeah, he's polarizing. I'm not sure who we need to find a millennial who everybody likes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he could be like sort of the Simon Cowell, but we're probably spending too much time on this. I think it's a good idea. Judge Judy makes $147 million. Our judge could make $5,000. I think it's a hit waiting to happen.
All right, but do you think this is an RANAP episode?
I think people could write in. Look, I don't know if there would be, but like, let's say we got like an Ali Lasher to come in and be our millennial judge. And then we had then different millennial grievances that were also going to be filed.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I just don't know how many grievances, how many millennial grievances.
Well, we would need probably two
have.
For a podcast.
Okay. But here's the problem. Here's the one tricky thing with that. I think we need the grievances before we put it on the wheel. Because it would be very embarrassing if we put this on the wheel, spun it, and it was like, yeah, nobody, we had either had no grievances or it was more like the music video thing where maybe we should have picked the videos first.
No, we would work that all out. But I think we have a lot of to-dos, basically, between this and the next episode to talk about if we could make this happen. All right. So
yeah, write in if you have any millennial grievances, even if you're old.
And we have no authority to enforce it either. So not necessarily.
No, they're submitting to binding arbitration.
Yeah.
I think if they're coming in. But it might not be money-based. So Chester, speaking of Chester, he said, you guys asked
last
week.
Can you set up
Judge
who
Judy.
Chester is for people who are new listeners?
I just said, he is my 32 fans. That's a sports podcast I do without Rob, although Rob's been on it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it is a sports podcast that I do every single week for the last 4 years that mostly talks about football, but also ranks things and makes lists.
Okay.
So Chester said, she's actually not a judge anymore. No courtroom TV show features a real active judge. They are arbitrators. The parties agree to arbitration. Also, the show itself covers the cost of the judgment. In addition to paying both sides legal fees for appearing and also paying their airfare and hotel, the show pretends to film in New York, but actually films in California.
Why do they pretend to film in New York?
I don't know that. I didn't really investigate that, but he must have found that on Wikipedia or something. But that's interesting. So not only I knew, of course, we both knew that like the parties are getting some sort of minor payment and, you know, at least a per diem, and they're not paying for their hotel room and airfare. I didn't realize that the judgment, like if you say, oh, you know, you get $3,000, that comes from the show. I thought it was coming from the person. Didn't you?
Yeah, because I don't know necessarily what the person, like in the first case we're going to talk about, that one person is suing the other person for like $2,500 in damages. I mean, what was that person getting if the court ruled in their favor?
Right. I guess why would a defendant ever come on the show if why are they agreeing to binding arbitration if like they could lose when they could just say no to Judge Judy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess the person would just take them to small claims court and now they wouldn't be able to be on TV or whatever.
I'm not sure.
But there's not a lot of incentive to be the defendant otherwise.
I'm not sure. Okay. Keith, had you ever watched an episode of Judge Judy before this?
Definitely. When I was a little kid, I used to like go to my dad works at my grandfather's house. So I would go there and I would just hang out upstairs with my grandma and we would watch the whole morning show gamut. Back then, there wasn't a lot of like, you know, there was like 8 sports centers in a row, but it was the same show. So after one sports center, you'd be on to daytime TV. So I don't know if there still are, but there was like 4 or 5 judge shows on every morning. There was Judge Mathis, Judge Joe Brown.
Yeah.
But of course, Judge Judy is the Rose Bowl of judges. She's the granddaddy of them all.
What about Hot Bench? Is Hot Bench still out?
I never saw it, but I'm going to guess it was a one season wonder.
It was a one and done, if it's still happening. Let's see. No, it looks like Hot Bench might still be airing.
So Hot Bench is a few different judges. It's like that's a better idea probably to have 3 judges.
Yeah. I think Hot Bench, it's sort of like the American Idol approach to the judging. And then nobody, like, it's like, hey, Judge Judy gets $147 million. It's like, okay, if anybody is asking for too much money, we'll just replace him.
And are they all very attractive? Because I don't know who's on the Hot Bench.
There's like there's 2 ladies, and then there's one sort of Merrick Garland looking guy.
Okay. Is it Merrick Garland? What else is he doing?
I don't think it's actually Merrick Garland, but I could be
wrong. I think he still gets his job. I still think he has a job as like a circuit judge or whatever he does.
Yeah. So, Hot Bench. It's got a great name. Great name for a Hot Bench.
It is a good name. Yeah. We don't have a great name for our millennial judge yet, unless you think the show's name is Millennial Judge.
No, I think that the millennial judges wouldn't watch it. I think we'd still be bringing in the old people to watch Millennial Judge if it was called Millennial Judge. We need to come up with a good name for it. But
all right, yeah.
We'll work on that later. That's sort of like the elevator pitch, Millennial Judge.
All right. I did not find an average age for Judge Judy, but I was looking. I was really hoping.
Where do you
a great
find
stat.
That information?
I was like Googling. Some shows have the average age. You could see the average age of like people who watch Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you know there's a Judge Judy subreddit?
I didn't. Ooh, I that bad job by Uncle Kiwi by not finding that. I didn't know that.
It does not seem to be a la the Bill Simmons subreddit where the people on the Judge Judy subreddit seem to hate Judge Judy. It does seem like that these are Judge Judy fans, but it is not one of the more active subreddits that are out there.
That doesn't surprise me. I think the average age of a show, has is inversely correlated to how popular the Reddit is. So
yeah. All right. let's get into our cases that we're going to talk about here today. So we don't get too in the weeds here with Judge Judy. We already spent a lot of time on Millennial Judge. So we're watching three court cases, the first of which is a case of Jeff Stewart, a plaintiff, taking on Hunter Kinshi, the defendant. Now, I know Christine picked out these episodes. Did she give you any sort of backstory why she picked out this episode?
She liked, in particular, she thought this was the most ridiculous episode of the last couple of years. The main one we're going to watch. She thought this was particularly funny. And there is an unusual twist in this episode that I'd imagine most of the episodes.
Yes. It's a half hour episode. I take it, Judge Judy. I would say about 75% of the episode is spent on this first case, and then there is a shorter case at the end. But this did not seem particularly crazy to me in terms of what I imagine some of the hijinks on Judge Judy could be.
No, I think this is a pretty normal episode, other than the one or two things that happen. And the case is a little wackier.
The second case was more absurd.
The second case was also because this is a lot of the shows have three. It's a 22-minute. The show's on twice a day, right? But
yeah,
it's 2 half-hour episodes. But within each half hour, I think there's always multiple cases.
Okay.
And sometimes three. The second episode, which we're only going to talk about one of them, there's three cases.
Mm-hmm.
But here, the first case is sort of such a big time one that the second one is kind of not filler, but is, you know, it's slotted in as a much shorter case.
Okay, to set things up. Okay, this is the case of Jeff Stewart versus Hunter Kinshi. Jeff Stewart and his wife own some sort of like Airbnb where people can do winter activities, and they rented it to this guy, Hunter, and his friends. Hunter was not the main renter, but he was one of four bros that rented this place to go ice fishing. And the issue is that there was some damage done to the roof, that this house is very unusual, Keeve, where it's sort of like built into the side of a hill. And then Hunter and his bros took a snowmobile over the roof of this home numerous times. And there was some damage that was done to the roof, where on the inside it looked like some of the sheetrock was damaged. No structural damage, but it looked like that there was enough cosmetic damage done to the house that you could see it on the inside in the ceiling.
I would say, you know, because of, we can't really post the episode for the listeners to watch because Judge Judy will sue us. But if you're wondering what Hunter looks like, you already know. Like, he looks exactly like you think he
would. He's a 22-year-old bro. He was allegedly there to ice fish with his bros for 3 days. There was also some other bros that were staying at a nearby hotel that were also staying with them. Judge Judy claims that Hunter was using the roof of the house as a mogul. She would use the word mogul no less than a dozen times.
Yeah. By the way, Christine, who was very helpful, also wrote in when she said this episode. She's like, just so you know, a mogul is like a bump, like on a ski hill.
Yeah.
I was like, Christine, you know who you're like. Do you think a lot of people don't know what a mogul is?
You know what? And to be honest, I was surprised Judge Judy knew what a mogul was.
Yeah, I'm not so shocked, but also it isn't like an Olympic thing. That is my thing. It would be weird if I didn't know what a mogul
was. Yeah, okay. As somebody who hates the cold and doesn't skateboard, you know, I think I might remember a mogul from playing like Skate or Die on Nintendo. I think that's the only time.
Yeah, but mogul is, I think, mostly known with regard to skiing.
I think it's mostly known in regards to being sort of a big player in business or media.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's a different definition of the same word.
Homonym.
Yeah.
You know, much more
common. It's also a steam locomotive with three pair of driving wheels and one pair of smaller wheels in the front. Several meetings.
Okay, so this seems like it's a pretty clear-cut case that Mr. Stewart is trying to get roughly $2,500 to repair the damage done to his house, but Hunter does not deny snowmobiling over the roof of the house and using the roof as a mogul repeatedly, but he feels as though the damage done, how do we know he caused the damage to the ceiling?
I think it's a good question. I think if I was his lawyer, I'd be arguing the same thing. And how do we know Hunter did it?
Yeah. You would think that he would have the defense of, no, we definitely didn't go snowmobiling on the roof of the house. That was not us. You can't prove it. Instead, Hunter has brought a DVD with him to the court to show Judge Judy evidence of him snowmobiling on the roof.
Oh, yeah. It's like if OJ brought the video. If I did it, here's how. But it was a video, not a book.
Yeah. This was a surprising move because I thought that this was going to be a video that was going to prove, Your Honor, as you can see by my video, it could not have possibly been me who broke the roof of the house using it as a mogul. That's clearly not me. I have an alibi. No, he was saying, hey, look at this. And you see him like snowboard or take the snowmobile over the roof, like, woo. And he is saying, like, look, how much does this weigh? You know, there's a lot of snow on that roof. It's impossible.
He was really, his big argument was like the roof is very dirty and has hundreds of tons of dirt on the roof. So what is a snowmobile that's 1,000 pounds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know a lot about physics, Keith, but I kind of feel like that the impact of the snowmobile going even slightly airborne, I feel like is enough to do some damage to the roof. No?
Yeah, I would say yes, but also when you look at the snowmobile, it looks like it's on the roof for like a split second. The video almost is better than what you'd imagine, which was like it just like being on the roof for 5 minutes. Like it barely makes contact. It's off the roof within a split second.
Yeah.
So I sort of get why he brought the video.
Okay. And so Hunter and his friends also were very drunk, even though he denies being, you know, inebriated, that he and his friends started drinking at 3 p.m. that day.
Yeah. The main thing that people need to know about Judge Judy is that she will, her main thing is like, you have to answer her yes or no questions. So she asks him, like, were you drinking? And then she has to yell at him because she has 5 kids and she knows they all drunk. So it's like, all right, when were you drinking? You need to give her exact answers. You cannot beat around the bush with Judge Judy or she will end you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Judge Judy, you know, she does seem to be, you know, no nonsense, common sense. I had not had a lot of exposure to Judge Judy, but generally I did like her style.
Yeah, there's a reason why she's the highest paid person like in all of Hollywood. Like she definitely has a shtick. She sticks to it at all times. It is very rigid. One of my like interesting sort of complaints is this case, like a lot of things, it feels like they're fast forwarding over. Not that these things were discussed, but there would be information that was relevant to know. Like clearly she thought there was like 30 people at this house at the party, but like that was sort of, you know, brushed over. I do think she is getting notes. Christine says like she is, you know, before they air a episode, the producers faxed the sworn statements and relevant info on each case to her house in Naples in the winter, Naples, Florida, not like Italy, and Greenwich, Connecticut in the spring and summer. And she familiarizes herself with enough details to have some background, but not enough that the case doesn't appear fresh when she questions the litigants during filming. But it does seem like there is some in every episode, like a lot off the page, especially in the last case we're going to discuss today. Like there's a lot that we sort of don't know that they clearly know that make it a little complicated because they're really rushing on some of these cases.
Yeah. Keeve, ultimately, we're going to see Judge Judy rule in favor of the plaintiff, Jeff Stewart. She is ultimately going to decide that, look, we don't know necessarily if you caused the damage, but we know you were snowboarding on the roof. The guy tries to say, well, there was no sign that says I couldn't do it. And she says, look, you don't need a sign to tell you not to drive a snowmobile off a roof. If you go to the beach and there's glass on it, you don't need a sign that will tell you don't walk on the glass. And so, we don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt whether it was the snowmobile or not, but it seems like there's enough there. So she ruled in favor of Mr. Stewart. I did also like this quote that she had as she was trying to tell Hunter about how to avoid a predicament like this in the future.
Now, if you don't want to get caught with your pickle in a jar, don't put your pickle in the jar.
Sound advice.
Yeah. I love it, Judge Judy. Do you know what her like a main quote is? I don't even think she says it anymore because it's like her most famous quote.
Oh, what is it?
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
That's the name of her first book.
Yeah. There's a lot of reality show contestants, I think, that also use that. I thought it was her main quote was like, we're done here.
Yeah. Can I from this Reddit, can I give you the top 10 things you're not allowed to do in Judge Judy's
courtroom?
You can
give it to me. I actually have that same page open.
Okay. Well, I'll tell the listeners and okay. You can follow along. Number one, ask a question. Judge Judy will not answer your questions.
Okay. Makes sense.
Number two, start an answer with, I feel. The judge does not care about your feelings. Feelings are for Dr. Phil.
Sound advice.
Number three, start an answer with, is not an answer.
Mm.
This sounds like fourth grade a lot.
Yeah.
Number four, try and talk over Judge Judy. Whose mic do you think they'll cut off? During one of the episodes I watched, she does say, we're going to cut your mic if you keep talking. So that is a threat she actually makes in court.
Yeah. These are also good rules if anybody is ever going to be at a tribal council. These are also very good rules as well.
Well, I don't know about number five. Number five, wear shorts. Shorts are for the beach.
That's
would
fine.
You wear shorts
that's
to
fine.
A
you
funeral?
You wear shorts.
Chew gum, number six. Judge Judy will make you spit it into a tissue in front of 10 million people if you chew gum. Number seven, ask Judge Judy to read letters, notarized or otherwise. The judge most definitely does not read your letters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she gets paid $147. She needs at least $247 to read your letters.
Yeah.
Number eight, ask the judge to telephone a witness. Are you an idiot? I guess that happened once probably.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, don't speak to the plaintiff or the defendant. You could do that outside after Judge Judy dismisses your case and says goodbye to you. Whose playpen do you think this is? And the number one really should be number 10. This was a 1 through 10 list, but ends at number one. Never, ever drink the water. I did see a case online somebody sent me that we ended up doing that. The guy just drinks the water the whole time. And she's very like, you know,
yeah,
she goes nuts about the water.
I did rewatch the Curb episode where Larry appears on Judge Judy and he's commenting on the water and she yells at him about the water. So is the water a big thing on Judge Judy?
I think it is. I think it is a big thing, the water.
Okay. All right.
She mines a lot of gold out of the water.
Keeve. So It sounds like that you feel like that Judge Judy may have made a hasty ruling to rule against Mr. Kinshi. Why is that?
Well, I agree that what he did was really stupid and that maybe you should pay the damages just for going up on the roof. I don't mind that he has to pay, but like it's far from guaranteed that he made we don't have a ton of proof that the wall was intact the week beforehand, right? Because the pictures he only has after pictures. The homeowner does not have before pictures.
Yeah, but he claims, I don't know, are you under oath in Judge Judy's courtroom that, you know, he and his wife painted, that they did not have the house inspected before this guy rented it. But I think it sounds like that they painted either right before this guy and the bros stayed there or before one other party stayed there. The guy was driving a snowmobile off the roof. If you you rent an Airbnb and you take a snowmobile across the roof of that thing, I think you're liable for the damages.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I get where the other guy's coming from, but I think we could side with Judge Judy here that that guy should have to pay for the roof.
Okay, I agree with Judge Judy. I do. I like her no nonsense, common sense approach to things. Keith, do you think that Judge Judy is a net good thing or bad thing for the legal system? Is it too much of an oversimplification of how the legal system works?
I think lawsuits are super complicated and everything with lawyers is just billing and, you know, super expensive and taking a long time. And this, it would be good if this had more influence. I think the problem is it doesn't have any influence, right?
Yeah. So
we didn't move to the way of like, all right, let's just solve everything in like one day arbitration. That would be amazing.
Yeah. It seems like that would be good. Seems like that would probably be bad overall for the defendants. I think that probably in terms of like criminal cases, I think that in terms of the rights of the accused, seems like that they would be infringed upon. But it does seem like that this would be a way to really, you know, keep things moving.
I like it. I mean, lawyers would make much less money. That would be good.
Yeah.
Less money for Chester, more money for me. Christine says, by the way, that almost every Judge Judy case can be boiled down to a few different sort of, you know, two or three word explanations, which is irresponsible pet owner, irresponsible parent, irresponsible roommate, a gullible boyfriend, a gullible girlfriend, or a gullible business investor, or her favorite, the annoying neighbor.
Annoying neighbor. What would this case fall into?
This is really doesn't really fall. I think this is sort of a new age one, which is the annoying Airbnb tenant.
Douchey Airbnb tenant.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of them in the next few years on Judge Judy, if there aren't already.
Yeah. I do like that Judge Judy kind of shames this guy where she's talking to him. He's trying to imply that, no, he knows that the snowmobile only weighs this many pounds. And she's like, are you an engineer? Did you go to college? Where do you work? In a factory? Okay, you don't know anything.
Yeah, and what if he said yes? What if he was an engineer? Would he have won the case? I don't get it.
Maybe. I think she would turn things around. Like, hey, if this guy's an engineer and says that's not possible, then he's sort of like a, you know, expert witness also.
I want to ask you a question. Do you think Judge Judy has its serial? Has its sort of super case that
do I think Judge Judy has its serial? Has whose serial?
No. Do you think Judge Judy has ever had a case? Because I don't even know if they've ever had a case that's a full episode, right? Because most of these are two. Do you think they've ever had a case that's a full episode? And B, more importantly, do you think they've ever had a case that went on more than one episode?
I would suspect in 22 years of being on the air, I think that they probably have had a case that certainly has filled the whole half hour. And I would suspect they probably had a two-parter somewhere along the way.
So you think they have had like a sweeps week episode?
If I had to bet, if my life depended on it, I would think that they probably did have a two-parter. What about
I like the idea of your life depending on this? Like you go up, I assume you'd, if you lost this bet, you'd be in hell. But like you go down and then like
my soul depends on it.
Well, you said your life depends. Like,
yeah, my life depends on it. Like there's a gun to my head. If I'm right, I live. And if I'm wrong, the trigger gets pulled.
Okay, fine. So you don't go fine. So you go up to heaven and God's like, hey, why are you here, Rob? And he's like, well, I bet someone that Judge Judy, you know, had a two-part episode, but she didn't.
No. And now what I would like to think is, you know, forget all this good place, bad place, that you, when you die, you meet Judge Judy and she's the one. And
holy cow.
You are now in like independent arbitration for your soul in the eternal afterlife.
So
and then you're trying to argue your case. And she's like, put the water down. Okay, Akiva, were you a good person?
But it's hot in hell.
Don't answer the question with I asked you. It's a yes or no question. Were you a good person?
No, Judge.
Okay. Look. I get paid the big bucks to make these calls. We're done here.
Yeah, another one I watched, the guy kept telling her how pretty she is.
Is that in this next case that we're going to talk about?
No, okay. No, but he really, she did not appreciate it.
Okay, all right. So I agree with Judge Judy. I think she made the right call here.
So she's 1-0.
In this first episode. Okay, so then there is a shorter case in this same episode that we watched. Do we have like an air date or an episode number for this?
Yeah, this was September. I think this was like September 7th of this year.
Is there like a Judge Judy wiki or any way to keep track of this?
The episodes don't have the wiki. Christine sent me. I think this is episode. A new season starts with the calendar TV year. So in September, so this was like the season finale of last season, even though it was in September. So it was episode like 256 of season 22 or something like that.
Okay. All right. So, Keith, what can you tell us about the defendant and the plaintiff here in this second case on Judge Judy?
Well, I don't have their names. I don't know if you have their names,
I have,
but essentially,
Campos is the guy and then Marie is the woman.
Okay, so basically, it's very simple. Marie is a hairdresser, and Campos went to get a haircut and was very unsatisfied with the haircut Marie gave him. Marie never speaks during the episode.
Christine points out. Okay, all right.
Christine points out.
All right,
Rob.
So yeah, so this is the case of a bad haircut. Now, for our listeners who are trying to paint the picture in the mind's eye of, okay, so this person, this man who is suing the hairdresser for a bad $10 haircut, you would imagine probably male model, flowing locks. Hair must be very important to this gentleman.
Yes, he probably has a great set of hair, and this was just a disastrous haircut where he wasn't paying attention.
I just want to ask you all these questions as Judge Judy. Could you give me a celebrity that this person looks like?
Yes, George Costanza before the wig.
Old George Costanza.
Old and older George Costanza with less charm.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of I can't think of a celebrity. Again, there are no celebrities that look like this person because this is like a guy in his 60s with no hair on his head. He is a bald head with just hair on the sides. And he has like the Jean-Luc Picard haircut. And like, does he have a goatee or a beard?
I think he's got a goat.
He's got a goat. Okay. And so he's upset that his hair got cut too short and is suing for $5,000 in damages.
Yes, and this was a $10 haircut.
And he's also a lawyer.
He's an attorney, although he works for himself. He might not be one of those good lawyers. He might be one of those, not great ones.
And off the bat, Judge Judy hates this man so much. This is his introduction to Judge Judy.
San Antonio, Texas. Hope you don't use that against me.
No, I'm going to hold your lawsuit against you because it's stupid.
Do people hate people from San Antonio? Like, does she hate the Spurs and she's like a big Dallas Mavericks fan? Why would she hold that against
you?
Why would
love San Antonio.
I do. I've never been there, but I am a lifelong San Antonio Spurs fan. I don't know why she would care. Like, why would a New York Jew have any opinion on San Antonio versus Dallas or
Are
Houston?
You talking about yourself or Judge Judy?
We're both New York Jews.
Is that a good opener for that guy? Because it seems like he's trying to be a little flip. He's coming in. He's like, hey, I'm from San Antonio, Texas, but don't hold it against me.
Yeah, this guy is getting dunked on left and right. So Christine said that the person who Judge Judy talks to the most almost always is the loser. So that's actually good advice because now we're going to be 2 for 2 here on that.
Yeah. And so this man is coming in. This was like screen time. I'm like, I don't know how they're going to get through this case. They're like starting it and I'm looking at the video. There's like 4 minutes left in the episode. I'm like, well, what, is this going to be a two-parter? How is this going to work? Or is this like sometimes
this
on
gonna
like
be the first ever two-parter?
Well, not two-parter, but is it going to be like on Millionaire where it's like they start a new game. Like there's no way they're going to be able
to
finish
this.
That
would be smart. That would be a good way to get people to tune in tomorrow.
It's like they get like 3 questions in. It's like, oh, sorry. Like, all right, we're going to finish this one up tomorrow.
Yeah. That would be a good idea, but no, this is a slam dunk case, it seems like.
Seems like it's a bit of an open and shut case. We learn a little bit about this haircut where he ends up showing some photos to Judge Judy about how it was a couple days before Christmas. He came in to get a trim on the sides of his hair, and then ultimately it was very close. It was a very close haircut. And he said that she shaved his head, which Judge Judy told him that, no, Sam Jackson has a shaved head. This is not a shaved head.
That's her timeliest reference ever, Judge Judy. Sam Jackson.
Yeah. She doesn't do Samuel L. Jackson. She just says Sam.
Yeah, she's on first name base. Listen, if you're Judge Judy, then you don't have to. He doesn't make you call him by the middle name.
Yes, she says that she did not use a razor, so this was not a shaved head. And it took 3 to 4 weeks for the hair to grow back.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah. And ultimately, he was able to work he says, well, I wasn't trying to say I lost any wages.
Right. So then what's your case, buddy? I don't get what his... Plus, he works for himself, so is he going to fire himself?
Yeah. He's trying to say that she did it on purpose, and Judge Judy's like, that's it. We're done here. Get out. She ruled in favor. She said that he was going to get $10 that he was going to get the money back for the haircut.
Yeah, he does get $10, so technically he's the winner here, right? Or no, because he was asking for $5,000.
I guess so. So he was able to get the $10 back for the haircut. Now, before we get to the twist that we're going to have here in this episode, did you agree with Judge Judy's ruling here?
Yeah, he had no case. Doesn't it feel like in both these episodes, the cases this episode, the producers are really just in on the joke?
Well, like I don't know how they often had that this happens. Sort of,
yeah, they knew they had this magical, you know, video in the first one, which they rarely do have.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, do we know that's a real video? Do we know that they didn't just like make that and you know, and sort of put that together? Because the woo sound he makes seems very fake when he goes over the house and the snowmobile. He just says, woo.
That sounds fake.
That could be fake. It wouldn't blow my mind. It wouldn't be the craziest thing TV's ever done.
The question is, and we should probably ask this to Christine, how many times is there a true 50-50 ball in Judge mm-hmm. Judy's courtroom? It does seem like that more often than not, based on what we've seen, these cases seem like very one-sided.
Yeah. That's a good question. All right, so Christine has an answer. I hope you're sitting down yes. for our first question.
Yes.
Which is, how often, if ever, is there a full episode, a full case episode, full episode case, whatever, and then have they ever done a two-parter?
Okay.
So for the first one, once in a while, not often, but there will be one 20-minute case for an episode.
Okay, so sometimes there will be a full one case will take the whole episode.
Yes. Now, remember, there's two episodes a day.
Yes.
There are two episodes per day. It's an hour of Judge Judy every day with two totally separate episodes.
Right.
Is this just going to be is this going to replace Peppa Pig now as our on our soundboard?
I don't believe a word you say. You're full of baloney.
I do think she's got quotes for pretty much everything.
Okay. All right. So that's a one for one on my Judge Judy bets.
Yes. And she says, for the first time ever, this year in November sweeps, they did a two-part episode on November 20th and November 21st.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Although, as she points out, they could have just done back-to-back, but they made you wait till the next day.
Yeah.
They had one at like 10 really, o'clock
I'm
and
surprised.
Then at 10:30
I would have guessed that they did it earlier on, that they would have come across that idea.
It took them 22 seasons, and I think there's like 300 episodes per season to do it once. And she said it was a sad one. Well, let's just say we could not have done this episode. It was a big custody battle.
Yeah.
The episode is called Knife Fight, so you could only imagine.
Knife Fight?
Knife Fight is the name of the episode.
Okay.
The woman went to a man's house with a weapon. Knives and baseball bats were involved. Not great. Doesn't sound great.
Not
but
fun.
But a two-part episode.
Okay. All right.
Sounds a little Springer-ish, right. Honestly.
So Judge Judy rules in favor of, I guess, you know, she rules in favor of the plaintiff in that he gets $10, but not nearly the damages that he was requesting. But at the very end of the episode, over the closing music, we learn of a big
what
twist,
a twist
in this
case.
This
is shocking. Yes.
Shocking. A shocking twist in this case. So let's go outside the courtroom.
She didn't let me present my case. She didn't let me tell her that she did this on purpose.
I knew it was going to end up like this.
She's a Trump hater. I'm a Trump lover. And Trump haters hate Trump lovers. And that's why she did it.
I have no idea what he's talking about. As to when it comes to Trump, Trump was not brought up at all.
I asked for a slight trim. And she shaved my head.
I don't know what's wrong with this guy. He's just a creep.
Okay.
That would have been a
Hold
much
on.
More interesting episode. What is going on?
Yes. Okay. So this changed everything. So now, do you think that Judge Judy did not want to explore this angle?
Yeah, I do think so. One, probably because it's not true. And two, because...
Which part is not true? That he made this up?
I mean, it just seems like totally made up. Like, you know, why that's crazy. But that's interesting because he probably went there. He flew from San Antonio, Texas to California thinking like, oh, we're going to have this big hot button discussion where she, intentionally gave me a bad haircut because she doesn't like my politics. To be fair, this guy does seem like he tells every, you know, he wants to argue about politics when he walks into a barbershop or a restaurant.
That is possible. Do you feel like that Judge Judy shied away from the political angle in this case because that Judge Judy wants to be apolitical? I mean, if the president will tweet about Supreme Court justices not ruling mm-hmm. in his favor, that does Judge Judy not want a part of being on the receiving end of a tweet storm?
You mean because he could be watching morning TV and he could really?
I do think that Judge Judy. Judy's time slot does fall within the window of executive time. I do think that there is a non-zero possibility.
I think it's, if you are the type of person who has a wide, you know, 9 million viewers, which is, I think, what she has every day.
Yeah.
And you're making $150 million a year. You probably can't afford to upset either side. You probably need Republicans and Democrats to watch, right?
Right. I think that in the Venn diagram of the president's constituency and Judge Judy's constituency, I do think that they do share a lot of the same people.
Yes, but also a lot of people on the other side, because if you have 9 million viewers, it's not all from one side, right? Like, it's
sure.
Anything she does will upset people. And I don't think people are watching Judge Judy, which also might be filmed like a year before it airs, for their like political views. So I think, like, you know, I'd imagine that there's probably not a lot of politics in there.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. Because that would
be, I would guess. I can ask Christine if politics ever comes in. But we do have an answer on her next question.
Yes.
How often, Christine, are you 50-50 on the fence about the case until the end? And she says about 1 out of every 100 times. Again, this is like her favorite show that she watches. But then she says, if you ask me, if you summarized it just without even watching the show 10 times, she'd be able to get guess who won at least 8 times out of 10.
Makes sense. Do you believe the case that, do you think that it's possible that this guy came in and then the woman gave him a bad haircut on purpose because of his political beliefs?
First of all, it'd be impossible to prove unless she told him that afterwards, right?
Right. I mean,
and she's not like cutting him with the scissors. Like, I feel like this is like a harmless crime, like, if she did.
Did the guy come in with, he's got the Make America Great Again hat, he gets the haircut, he gets the bad haircut, and then says, oh, she gave me a bad haircut because I love Trump?
I also think if they're so hesitant to discuss politics, they wouldn't have shown this bit at the end, right?
Mm, yeah.
Like, it's still on the show. It's not like it's a separate thing that we're watching, like, the post-game show on SportsCenter ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but it wasn't with Judge Judy, that part.
Yeah, so she doesn't allow politics, but, like, whatever – she doesn't watch the show. So whatever happens in the exit interview,
is she the executive producer of the show?
I would imagine that she has veto – if you make $150 million a year, I would imagine, even if she's not the showrunner in name, that let's just say she has veto power.
Yeah.
Over anything.
Okay, but is she like a, you know, screening the episodes after they film them?
I can't
them?
Imagine. But if they did something, you know, that she didn't like, you're out the door immediately. So are you risking your job for this little bit? I'm not sure.
Probably. Okay. An interesting case that the hairdresser, you know, she says that she didn't even know anything about this Trump stuff with this guy.
Yeah. Also, she might not know who Trump is. She seemed pretty stoned, this hair cutter. She doesn't seem like she has politics on one side or the other. She might, like, just likes to have a good time. But again, she never speaks during the...
Yeah. Let me just hear her account one more time.
Mm-hmm. She didn't let me present my case. She didn't let me tell her that she did this on purpose.
I knew it was going to end up like this.
She's a Trump hater. I'm a Trump lover. And Trump haters hate Trump lovers. And that's why she did it.
I have no idea what he's talking about. As to when it comes to Trump, Trump was not brought up at all.
I asked for a slight trim. And she shaved my head.
I don't know what's wrong with this guy. He's just a creep.
Now, the fact that she calls him a creep at the end, does that give his case a little more credence?
What did he do that's creepy, other than, like, make her fly out to California to win $10?
Right, right. Like, the fact that she's calling him a creep there at the end does make me think that now it has opened the door for me a little
interesting.
Bit.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So she is now the defendant for the second straight case, maybe is accidentally making themselves seem more guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, there's a lot off the page, especially in this case, which we saw 4 minutes of. Like, it's possible that he came into the store and, like, is always flirting with these women. Also, like, not to, you know, money shame, but if you're a successful attorney, maybe don't go to, like, Supercuts for $10 if you have an important lawsuit in the morning or something, right?
Yeah, He did not claim that he had a loss of wages in any way. I mean, it's, right. If anything, it was like, hey, my Christmas pictures got screwed up because.
Well, do you think if she did it on purpose, do you think he would have given her the $5,000? Judge Judy would have given him the $5,000?
I don't know. If she did it on purpose, she was, you know, real sly about it, where yeah. she just like was like, oh, okay. Well,
but also, how would he know that? That's what that doesn't make any sense. Like, is he totally making this up? Like, I get he comes into the store and he talks about Trump. She like, does she kick back and be like, no, he sucks? Or does she like not say anything that's totally made up? Like, why would he even think that she hates Trump unless she let him know that she hates Trump?
Well, I think he definitely got a haircut that he didn't like. And then right. I think that he was trying to, assign some, a motive to instead of
just
like.
They made him take off like a MAGA hat. And that's why he
might have been wearing it. And then yeah. said, oh,
we're also guessing.
I get
we don't
it.
Even know there was a MAGA hat involved.
Yeah. And and who knows what he was talking about when he was there? I mean, the guy just seems slightly unhinged in that. Yeah. Talking about Judge Judy is cute and hey, don't hate me. I'm from San Antonio.
So. Right. Don't hate me. I'm famously from San Antonio, the city where people, So Christina's answered.
Yeah.
I said, does Judge Judy ever allow politics? She says, yes. She said, recently, a man was actually, this is 2017, January 2017. A man was triple dipping public money. I don't know what that means. That must be a Judge Judy term that Christine's using. And Judge Judy broke the fourth wall to speak to the incoming Congress.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, Judge Judy is.
What did she say?
I don't know. I said,
Find
what
out.
Did she say? But wow, Judge Judy has the power to address Congress.
Wow. Could Judge Judy step in and work on the government shutdown? Could she come in? Could both sides agree to some sort of independent arbitration of the government shutdown?
I'm not sure the Dems would like her answer, from what I understand about her politics. Yes. I'm not sure.
Okay. Interesting.
But I think it would be a good idea. I think if she's like going to be totally neutral, I think it is a good idea. She could solve any case in just a matter of, 4 to 7 minutes.
Yeah. There's a very little nuance with Judge Judy. I like it.
Yeah, she doesn't have time for, listen, they got to do 3 cases in 20 minutes. She doesn't have time for your BS. I don't know if she'd even let you say BS in the courtroom, but
yeah.
you have to go right it, right into it. It's a lot of, I watched a few episodes. It's really, she just wants yes or no answers on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do not give anything other. Don't give an explanation. She just wants a yes or a no.
I mean, and if the woman, like hypothetically, just to play this out, the woman is going to like, oh man, this guy, he's a Trump supporter and I'm going to really stick it to this guy. I'm going to give him a really short haircut.
Mm-hmm.
That'll show him. Gonna make my statement. Like, she didn't like shave his eyebrows off or anything.
Right, right. She didn't give him. She didn't like. She didn't put like F Trump in his hair. Right.
This was a very, very. If there was anything hostile done, then this should be the worst thing that ever happens to this guy.
No, I agree. I don't think he suffered any damages, even if she did cut the hair like a little bit too long.
All right. So I don't change my ruling. I still am ruling in favor of Judge Judy again.
Yeah. We're 2 for 2. Judy's 2 for 2.
Yes. So there you go.
I wonder if there's ever been like a follow up with the same people, like if they've ever come back and been like.
Yeah. That's a good question. Has one person ever come back with another case?
Okay. Has there ever been a sequel?
All right. Now, I like the idea of, any problems that we have, like, all right, you got like 5 minutes. Just plead your case to Judge Judy. Let's just move on. Too many battles that we're tied up in.
Do you think we could do that with all arbitration, or do you think because only Judge Judy's capable? Or can we have just like 50 Judge Judys?
Give me an example of, what she's not going to be able to fix in 5 minutes.
No, she can fix. I'm just saying there's only one of her. Saying, can we sort of clone her? Can we make more so she could just be like the whole judicial system in the country?
Hmm.
And can she do this with like murder trials? Like, no, it's not going to be 6 weeks. You each get 5 minutes to present. You answer everything in a very succinct.
Yes or no. It's the murder cases. I think they could do a whole episode.
So you're willing to grant them 20 minutes for murder.
20
I think
minutes.
That's fair.
20 minutes. You did it. You didn't do it.
What if it's double murder?
What do you have?
Is that a double episode?
Don't have all this theater of days of witnesses and all this stuff. Either, show us your cards. Give us your best witness. You give us your best defense.
You're allowed to bring a witness on Judge Judy, but they sort of sit in the background. It's like you bring your wife or something, but that she just like waves for a second during the episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we see. Like you bring your roommate, but they're just there.
Yeah.
They're literally witnessing the case. They're not actually like testifying.
Okay. All right. All right, Keith, let's go to our final case that we're going to talk about.
Most
here.
Most confusing case, for
and
sure.
This is a person that many of our listeners may recognize because we actually had a Judge Judy case involving a former Survivor contestant.
Yeah. Do you want to explain what Survivor is? We're supposed to explain everything this episode.
Survivor is a television show which has run in the United States for 18 years now and 37 seasons. In one of those seasons, the contestants who vote each other out one by one until one person remains and wins a $1 million prize. In the
A million? They haven't adjusted for inflation at all?
Still a million. Still a million. Wow. So worth less and less each season. And so in the fifth season of the U.S. television show Survivor, there was a Survivor contestant named Gandia Johnson. And Gandia Johnson went on from Survivor to eventually become the plaintiff on a Judge Judy case against a man that she had a relationship with that she met in a supermarket.
I would say the nature of the relationship is unclear. I'd say everything about this case is incredibly unclear.
I didn't feel like the relationship was that unclear.
Maybe I'm just dumb. So she met the guy in the supermarket and he was a good looking guy. So she sort of picked him up.
I think that they seemed to be a couple. It seemed like that they met in the supermarket and then there was a relationship.
But that's never said.
How long did they have with Judge Judy? Judge Judy, she's not here for these
I think
tawdry,
this whole thing is very,
tawdry
is very
details,
complicated.
Okay?
Yes.
What will go on to happen is that this man is going to end up in Florida, end up arrested, and then Gandia is going to pay for a lawyer for this guy. I don't think you pay for the lawyer of somebody that you just meet at the supermarket.
I thought that was what was even crazier, that she's just paying for this random guy because she has like a heart of gold and she wants this guy not to be in jail. So she was paying for it. I thought that was like the most interesting part.
No, I did not get that.
This is like a hookup and she's paying for her hookups.
That was my read on it. And I don't even want to say
hookup
because they may have dated for.
Well, no, because doesn't she say that they only met in person like that one time? The problem is that they both seem to be lying. The plaintiff and defendant sort of like what every single thing they're saying, it's impossible for their like it is completely contradicted by the other person. So like he says that they only met the one time ever. In this, like, I don't know. It was very complicated. It was very confusing to me.
Well, case. I don't want to get the facts wrong in this case. Do you want to hear the setup here on the show?
Yes, yes.
According to your answer, you met Miss Johnson in a supermarket. Correct. Is that right?
Correct.
Struck up a conversation. Began sort of a relationship. When did that start? Month and year?
Month would be March, year.
Sort of a relationship sounds like a relationship.
I would love for like you in general to just address people the way Judge Judy does. Like, all right, remind me when you went on Survivor, month and year. Like, that's not how normal people speak.
And did you see her after you met in the supermarket?
No, what happened was we met in the supermarket and...
You exchanged numbers?
We exchanged numbers. We built a rapport.
Explain to me a rapport. What does that mean?
Just text messages, calling. We never, met up. We never went anywhere.
You never met
up?
Yeah, well, okay. We'll see.
I think I'm right here, at least according to what he's saying.
Yeah, so maybe there was like a...
that was the only time they ever met. She is giving money to someone
she
met at a
supermarket. I revise. So that, I think that they may have had a, this may have been an extensive text messaging relationship.
Yes.
for some time.
Now, he could be lying also, because we don't hear much about Gandhi's side of the case, but it's possible she has a different story.
And for the third case in a row, the person that does the most talking is going to get ruled against.
Yeah, no, Christine is right. She knows her stuff.
Gandhi is great here. She does the eye rolls from hell a number of times here to this guy.
Yes.
So... great, great job there by the Denver Diva. Not putting up with this guy's crap anymore.
Yeah, they don't need much from her because Judge Judy's not on the side. She says she doesn't find the guy cute, even though he's kind of a good-looking guy.
Yeah, no, I thought that was surprising.
It was a low blow by her. He's a good-looking guy.
Because Judge Judy, she loves Gandhi, but you're right, she did not think much of this guy.
No.
You know, you look like a lovely lady. You should be able to tell, a perspective.
A charlatan, I should be able to.
You should be able to. All right. Well, he thinks he's cute. There are some people that would find him cute. I do not. And I assume that.
Oh, Judge Judy does not think this guy is cute.
Very hard laughing by the people paid to be in the audience. Overlaugh from the.
He's a bad looking guy.
Nice, good looking guy. She's not saying he's ugly. She just doesn't find him cute, I guess is what she's saying.
She
doesn't like his shtick. Yeah, no. She doesn't like his antics.
She doesn't like what this guy is up to.
Get a life, get a real job.
So this guy goes to Florida then, and apparently he was arrested in Florida. And there's some question about how did Gandhi find out that he got arrested in Florida? This guy alleges that he never said anything to Gandhi about this, that since Gandhi is a paralegal, she must have read it in the trades that he got arrested.
He insists that he could not have told her because he was in jail without a cell phone. Mm-hmm. But she says that he texted her. He says that's impossible. And we never get a resolution to that, which really is a very key question here, but we don't know.
I think that we have an unreliable witness here on the stand in this gentleman, and he has a suspended license, which was part of the problem. Also, the police found drugs in his car, but somehow the drug charges were dropped. It seems like the police are...
Well, he thinks that they're not going to be... He's like, it's not going to happen, but she's sort of not assuaged that... He is correct.
Yeah.
He also seems to think he was racially profiled. Let's just say Judge Judy, not super interested in that line of defense.
Yeah. Because her response is like, but then you did have drugs in the car.
Right. Their sides are so divergent. Like, they're so opposite. And we don't really, I guess she's telling the truth, like she wins. But, to me, this whole case is confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no relationship between them, but she's paying his bail. And she did pay the bail. She had to know. Doesn't make any sense.
Seems like, she had to know that he's out of jail. You were right. I don't think that they had that they were dating. But they at the very least, it seems like that there was flirty texting going on back and forth for a while. Enough so that this guy felt comfortable asking for money for a lawyer when he got arrested.
Right. And Gandhi is also much older than him. Mm-hmm. And she's like a mom. She may have sort of mommed him. That was sort of what I was thinking.
I don't think mom is the right word here either.
Okay. I guess.
I think that he might be looking at Gandhi as a potential sugar mama here, picking her up in the supermarket.
Okay. That's fine.
She's not a mother-son relationship.
Okay. All right, but it doesn't sound like anything came of it. I mean, the supermarket pickup, neither of us have been single since the Stone Age, but I'm told that's a very hard pickup to do.
Not easy.
You're just going over, and what's your line? Like, the woman's buying, Fruity Pebbles. Like, what's your...
I think the line is, hey, you should stay away from the frozen food section because you could melt all this stuff.
Oh yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I made that's that up. Good. That's a original line by me.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if I could top that. I don't know. Put down those honeycombs and honey, come home with me.
I don't know if you should honey on the first meeting.
No, you shouldn't honey. I mean, listen, you have a very tight window in there. I don't know. I kind of like better.
Yeah, this guy pulled it off, though. He pulled it off.
Okay.
Supermarket meetup got the number, got
her digits at the very least.
And then
we don't know if there's other digits involved, but yeah.
Took off for Florida and then had the suspended license, did have drugs in the car. Then he found a lawyer, told Gandia that he had a family inheritance coming of like $3,200.
Yes, someone who didn't love him, like a great aunt or something, maybe.
I think it was a great, or it was a grandfather, I think, that was.
Oh, I was just teasing. I was just saying, because it wasn't a life-changing amount of money that he could have been able to, done anything other than possibly pay this back.
Yes. So Judge Judy rules in Gandia's favor against this guy.
Yeah, 3 for 3 in terms of it being very obvious, like who she disdained from the minute they walked. You know, they walked in, and it's not always the plaintiff or the defendant. That is the one sort of thing that switches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes she hates the plaintiff, sometimes the defendant, but you sort of know where her allegiances lie from the go.
Right, right. I mean, the first and the third case, is pretty open and shut in terms of somebody was trying to get money back for damages, with the middle case being somebody brought in, a cockamamie lawsuit and wanted $5,000 for a bad haircut.
Can I say at least like we learned something here? I do think Gandia definitely learned a lesson. Like, I don't think she would trust like a random dude she meets in the supermarket who's sort of like a reclamation project.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is definitely like a scammer and meets women and then is like trying to get them to spend their money on him. And I feel bad for Gandia because I feel like that I've been watching Gandia on television now for 15 years and I've yet to see anything good happen to her. So I feel very sympathetic to Gandia.
Yeah, well, hopefully, she's never come back on Survivor, but hopefully she'll come back on Judge Judy in a better way. I don't know what the sequel is. Christine says very rarely do people come back. Sometimes someone will come without evidence and she'll send them home and then they'll come back another day. But that'll be like 2 seconds later in TV time.
OK, so it's not like like next month they're back.
I'm sure there are people that have been on twice, but they don't make a big deal out of it. It's not like Jeopardy where like they, you can't be on two times.
OK. All right. Keeve, anything else about Judge Judy that we want to touch on here?
No, I think we really exhausted it. But I definitely come out of this with a ton of appreciation for Judge Judy. Like, she really is the best in the game.
She's the best in the game. I feel like that there's just she does simplify the world. And maybe that's part of the appeal where, the legal system is complicated. There's, so many laws and Judge Judy is able to distill it to its simplest and least complicated form. And so she does get things done. And I think that there's probably, I do think that that's the appeal. I think it's probably Pollyanna to think it could work for anything else besides small claims court. But, she does seem to make sense of a crazy world.
I agree. Now, if you were the type of person who was home, you were, let's say, off from work, you were sick or something, you're like, all right, I'm going to watch daytime TV. Do you think this could get into your routine?
Never.
Because I feel like I could. You don't think so?
No.
All right. There's another morning show that we will do, possibly next week, possibly in 2022. Price is Right. You think if this is on the same time as Price is Right, you're watching Price is Right?
Definitely watching Price is Right.
So you have no interest in pursuing a relationship with Judge Judy further?
I do. I like Judge Judy, but...
Because I think that there is probably, like, if we watch three more cases, I do think we'd get, like, a whole nother... Not another side of her, but I do think she's got some of the ones I watch, she has some real, like, winning one-liners.
No, she's good. I know that one of our listeners, John Tinkham, is always trying to get to Jessica Walter based on the show topic. Mm-hmm. I do think that Jessica Walter could play Judge Judy in some sort of movie about her life.
Yeah, I don't know. What would the premise of the movie be? Like, once she makes it big?
Yeah, what
is
she,
that still to be written?
What about young Judge Judy, like, in law school?
Right. I mean, I think Ed Koch is the one who made her career. Who plays Ed Koch?
Young Ed Koch?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Was he ever young Ed Koch?
I think he was.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll work on the screenplay. I don't know.
Okay.
It's Oscar bait.
If the same person works at Netflix who's doing Millennial Judge for us, maybe we'll get that in. It'll be an overall deal. We'll get the Judge Judy movie in with the Millennial Judge.
Okay. I think that seems like a great one.
Period. Mm-hmm. End of discussion.
Oh, can we do that now? Anytime we get up to the wheel, I think that's what we have to have. Period. End of discussion.
Period. End of discussion.
All right. Keith, before we get to talking about the wheel, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Graze.com. Graze is a snack subscription service that delivers delicious, unique snacks to your work or home. And a Graze box comes with 8 portion snacks that are customized to your taste preferences and dietary requirements. You don't need Judge Judy to be picking out these perfect snacks for you, because Graze is taking care of that. They want to show you the tasty side of healthy snacking, and you can try it for yourself for free when you use the promo code Rob. Graze is a snack service that is going to send these snacks right to your work or home, and they come in the perfectly portioned packs, great for on the go and treating yourself without overdoing it. Just in the commercial break for Judge Judy, you can run into the kitchen and grab a snack and not have to worry about overdoing it at all, Keeve.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, savory combos, flapjacks, cookie dippers, over 100 unique snack creations means there's something new or different to try. How about honeycomb flapjack, rustic rolled oat flapjack with honeycomb and chocolate drizzle? I didn't even know what flapjack was until I started trying out these Graze snacks, but it is delicious. It's like
Don't they talk about flapjacks in the movie Groundhog Day?
See, I always thought flapjacks were pancakes, but
yeah, so did I.
But no, this is I've been eating this stuff in it, and it's great. It's like an Oaty bar. It's good stuff. Then also there's a snickerdoodle dip with cinnamon pretzel sticks, only 150 calories. When you sign up, browse and rate all the snacks to help Graze handpick a personalized box to suit your preferences. And each snack is approved by their in-house nutritionist and contains no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives, so you can feel good about what you're snacking on. Go to Graze.com now to get a free trial box of 4 of their top-rated and most delicious snacks. That's Graze.com. Use the special code Rob. That's at Graze.com. Promo code Rob for your free box. All right, Keeve, time to talk about what's going on the wheel. Now, was this the week we were going to do all waiting room stuff?
Yes, I think we should do that, because we have about 10 or 11 things locked onto the wheel. A couple things that are about to come on or pending some sort of investigation.
pending investigation?
You know, pending some. So we're waiting on a listener email, an idea or something. Or in the case of the Rehapsler, you know, the people have to go on the dates and then tell me how they went and stuff.
You did the wrong thing.
Now, hopefully nobody on those dates will do the wrong thing. I think that this week we should clear out the wheel waiting room and put a few things on, maybe knock things off for good. I think this is a good week to do it. Refreshing the wheel. If you have new wheel ideas, send them in, and next week we'll do a blowout, you know, big wheel thing.
This is the time of year we're going to get rid of all the clutter that's in the corners everywhere and then sort of start fresh with 2019. I still have my veto, so we have that. So we know we're going to have a good show next week.
But if you don't lose your veto when we spin the wheel soon, you lose it, right? If you don't use it this week, you lose it.
That's right.
So you wouldn't want to be caught with your pants down not having used your veto in 2018, I feel.
So you
feel
get like, Zippo, nada.
Yeah.
Nada. All right. So I have sent you the list of the 20 or so things that are in the wheel waiting room.
Oh, okay.
And I think we should go through them and maybe boot some of them or maybe merge some of them. And we could tweak them and put a couple things on the wheel proper.
Great. Okay. All right. You want to start?
Yeah. So we have a couple fan fiction ideas to start. One says Seinfeld fan fiction, and one
what
says Fred Mary fan fiction.
So the Seinfeld fan fiction, I don't even know what that is. I say get rid of that. We did the one Seinfeld episode.
It would have
episode.
To be a listener writing in of like a whole episode of Seinfeld fan fiction, and then we would sort of read it.
No, unless somebody when somebody has a Seinfeld fan fiction, get back to us. But
sure. But what if they write it and then like we made them do all this work? And then
so here's what they do. They break the outline. Give us the outline. We'll green light the outline. And then you go and you write the fan fiction based on our green lit outline.
Don't do a whole episode.
But until we did our Seinfeld episode. There was no juice. Nobody was psyched.
So you're saying real Seinfeld people didn't care about, but fake Seinfeld, even less popular, probably.
Right. And the reason why we're talking about this is because Akiva and I used to do a podcast about Seinfeld prior to...
Well, first of all, explain what Seinfeld
doing
is.
Doing this podcast. It was a show about nothing that aired on NBC. And So we talked about all those episodes, and now here we are, and we are talking about different things, but we don't need to do a Seinfeld fan fiction.
Okay, what about Frail Mary fan fiction?
Yes, I think so. She had tweeted recently that she was going to work on it. So I think at this point we are just waiting for her to say she's far enough along that she's comfortable for us to put it on the wheel.
I will say there was a lot of feedback last week that people were mad that we did not put Riverdale in the fishbowl, season 3, episode 7. Let's explain that. One of the things we talk about are season 3, episode 7 of various TV shows. We spin the wheel to pick a topic, but if the topic turns out to be season 3, episode 7, we have about 20 to 25 ping pong balls in a fishbowl in Rob's office, all of which have the name of a television show on them, and Rob picks one of those ping pong balls out, and then we discuss the TV show based on what the ping pong ball said.
Yeah.
Anyway, people were mad that we did not pick Riverdale.
Okay.
Should we add Riverdale to the fishbowl? And now, Kirsten, who sort of leading the charge for this episode, has a Riverdale podcast. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, I do.
She has a Riverdale podcast with Frail Mary. Now, do you think there's a lot of friction between Kirsten and Frail Mary? Because Kirsten is just pitching herself. She didn't say, hey, have me and Frail Mary on this podcast to talk Riverdale. She said, have me on. So now, do you think there's beef between Kirsten and Frail Mary?
I don't think so.
Because that could be on the Millennial Judge, if so. That could be like, that is a very good thing. Like, two podcasters arguing because only one was invited to be on the guest of another podcast.
Yes.
I do think is like a pilot episode for Millennial Judge.
The defendant is suing for 4 additional Twitter followers, which would have been gained by an appearance on, say,
Kirsten would probably lose like 7 by doing this podcast, but yeah.
Yeah, hey, look, T-Dub went up 100.
Oh, don't tell me about it. It's really one of my great regrets in life. It went up like 200.
Okay, so what you, that I didn't know we were on to the fishbowl here. Do you want to put Riverdale?
We're not. It just made me think of it because we were talking about Frail Mary. We're skipping ahead for a second. Yeah.
Do you want to put Riverdale onto the fishbowl?
I have no problem putting Riverdale on.
Okay, that you're more of the Archie person.
I'm more of an Archie person.
I did see the straw man, which was raised, was like, how could Three's Company be in the fishbowl and Riverdale isn't? But Three's Company, at the height of its powers, was, you know, a cultural touchstone and a number one
now,
show.
Now, do you think nowadays, which one has more juice, Riverdale or Three's Company?
Right, like, Riverdale isn't even a phenomenon now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
it's not a phenomenon like the home of like the stars of the show, even.
Right. Like when we talk about something that's nostalgic, like it was a hit in its time. And now we're like, you know, what the hell is this? As opposed to something that's not a hit now. But we're talking about what the hell is this? But we can. I'm not against it.
OK, so let's put that
was sort of my rubric for what goes into the fishbowl and what does not. But if there's enough,
it would also be funny to, because Kirsten was mad. So it'd be funny if we vetoed it once also.
OK,
like she'd be very mad at us. That's never happened there before. So she would not know what to do with herself.
All right. So Riverdale is going into the fishbowl. OK.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
OK.
There you go. All right, so we will put that ping pong ball.
What else
ball.
Is on this list, Rob?
Okay, gambling is simply a thing on the wheel waiting room.
Yeah, should we have an episode where we just gamble a bunch of money on stuff? Now, famously, we all agreed to gamble $1,000 on the fake Survivor season.
Yes.
Brand Steele TV characters, $1,000 a person. I won. Still waiting for the money from one Mike Bloom and yourself, but I'm sure it's in the mail. Should we gamble on, do we have an idea? Do we have a germ of an idea for how we would gamble, like spend an episode gambling on stuff?
I would like the idea of gambling if it was gambling on things that were not necessarily sports, where like if we could do like entertainment prop bets or things that weren't necessarily like, okay, like Mike and the Mad Dog, like betting the over unders on the baseball season, you know. In terms of, you know,
no, it wouldn't be sports related. I think that's a different podcast.
Yeah. So if there was things like, what are the weirdest things we could gamble on? I think that would be fun to talk.
Right, so I think that maybe this has to stay in the waiting room, and maybe we'll get the Shut Up Tim type ideas. Shut Up Tim, if people don't know, he is a very annoying listener, but we like him.
Mm-hmm.
Get like a, you know, if people send in ideas and we sort of have a better idea of what to gamble on. Because I don't have a, sort of a winning idea. It would be funny if it also could be baked into just a different episode where we're, you know, discussing something else, but we're also betting on certain things on that separate topic.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know what.
All right. Next on the list, Rob and Akiva have a PR firm.
Which was once on the wheel, and we kicked it off.
Okay. I think we should kick it out of the wheel waiting room also.
All right. Goodbye. You're out of the waiting room. Yeah.
This is an idea we would have had in August. It would have been on the wheel. I guess it was on the wheel. And then this is the kind of thing that we've realized it's not fleshed out enough of to do. Yeah. It's not going to be a
good
podcast.
We're much smarter than we were in August.
Yeah. We know how this works now. We know what's going to be good.
We do know how this works. Yes.
People should trust us.
Was this one good?
Which one?
This episode. We're supposed to discuss every episode
this
if it's
was,
good or
this
not.
Episode was okay.
Oh, boy. That not a strong endorsement from Rob.
This episode was
fine. You didn't
fine.
Love the Judge Judy. It's, I think we got into it, though. I think we got into it.
It was fine. It's going to be. There was there. Some people are really not going to like it. Most people, I think, are going to, you know, tolerate it. It was fine. But I don't know
if it's anybody's favorite episode.
That many people's favorite episode.
Well, one thing we learned last week is, like, when we talk about something people really care about, like Star Wars, people really get into it. Mm-hmm. So we just have to find, like, a Star Wars every week. So what else is as popular as Star Wars? That's really what we have to focus on, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be something like the other episodes that, you know, that are so out there where we're talking about things like Leprechaun and things that are just, you know, T-Dub's tweets and stuff like that, where... things are, you know, it needs to be, you know, really, you know, out there also.
But I like doing the out there episodes. Like, I sure. don't, you know, I like doing, it's like one for us, one for them, right? Like, we're doing some things that entertain us, but then we got to bring in, you know, the ratings. It is sweeps month.
Right.
In podcasts. Right. December sweeps
month. I don't think we got into anything that crazy here today.
Okay. Yeah. It's something everybody knows about. We're not talking about, like, there's things like in the fishbowl, there's Small Wonder. That has, like, no fans. Like, nobody will care. I mean, maybe we'll make a funny episode, but, like, nobody cares about that. Versus Judge Judy, at least everyone has some familiarity with it. The next thing on the list is 1997 Royal Rumble, where you and I watch the 1997 Royal Rumble, and we talk about it. I guess, would we be watching that as, like, would we be watching it and then podcasting about it, or would we be watching it in real time and doing sort of a live reaction to it?
Is it available? Why? Like, it's not on YouTube or anything. It's not only with the WWE.
Oh, yeah, no, we could definitely get it. We could get people give us their WWE network.
Right, but people could,
names.
Like, how many people have that could watch along?
Oh, okay. So I think it's the 97 Royal Rumble is probably available on YouTube.
It is. Okay.
I would guess. And if not, I mean, we couldn't sort of play it, but I do think we could.
Looks like it is on Daily Motion. I'm not sure.
Oh, that makes sense.
If that's in the full video.
You know what's this very annoying thing on YouTube now that we've found, you know, we're watching these shows and we're trying to give people links. The YouTube video where the show is in like half the screen or it's on like a fake TV in the video. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Incredibly annoying. YouTube should have some sort
of
quality
control. How about this? Do you want to describe the first 3 minutes of the 1997 Royal Rumble to see if this is a thing or not? Like, you want to do a dry run?
Let's do a dry run right now.
Okay, here. So let me send you the link.
Let me send you a link so we watch the same one.
Okay, and we'll both be looking at it at the same time, and we will be talking about what's going on at the 1997 Royal Rumble, and we'll see if this if this is working or not, and then it could be a whole.
Oh, sorry, this is the 2007, but that's even better. We'll do the 2007 Royal Rumble.
I sent you.
Oh, you sent me one.
The 2007.
No, I sent you the 2000. Okay, I don't know.
So I sent. So I'm sending
you.
You
sent me something
on
Daily Motion. All right, this is very confusing. But now we're like spoiling the podcast. Maybe we should do the first 3 minutes of 2007.
I don't think I'm going to know what's going on at the 2007 Royal Rumble, but you tell me what you want to do.
Well, aren't we like biting into the podcast or should we just do the
98
one?
We don't know if
next?
There is a podcast.
That's true, but now we're making sure there isn't one. All right, fine. Let's watch the 97 first 3 minutes.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. So, let me know. Okay, so we'll start this up. You can look for 1997 Royal Rumble on Google. There is like some Arabic text also that was in the description for it in the Google result. Okay, so let's go ahead.
Let's press play at the same time. Are you on zero? Tell me when to press play.
All right, I am at zero. Ready? Go. Okay.
Okay.
So here we are. We're zooming in on the ring, And who's that in the, who's the ring announcer?
What's that guy's name? Howard Feynman?
Yeah,
Howard Feynman. But they don't, they never get the Buffer brothers, right? They never get they Michael Bruce,
Are they
Bruce
in
Buffer.
San Antonio? I think they might be.
They might be because he said 60,000. There was very few stadiums back then that could fill it.
Hold on, Kiwi.
So I think it is probably in San Antonio.
All right. And we're seeing some shots of the crowd here. This guy is in a vest going nuts. Louisiana loves Bret Hart. So they must be in somewhere in Louisiana.
Is Bret Hart still alive?
Superdome?
They could be in the Alamo Dome. I mean, you could drive from
San Antonio,
from
Texas. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
Okay.
It is San Antonio.
So, oh, wow. So people.
The Alamo Dome. They're in the
San
Alamo
Antonio.
Dome.
So many mentions on this episode.
Yeah. Big week for San Antonio. Do you think we have any listeners in San Antonio? I'm not sure we have any. I can't think of anybody who's in San Antonio. Who is Bret Hart still alive? There's a lot of Bret Hart signs.
Definitely
21
still alive.
Years ago. Okay. That would be one of the saddest parts about doing this podcast is like most of these guys are dead. The lifespan for a wrestler is about 48.
Yeah, that would be very sad here. Now, San Antonio is the home of the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, correct?
I know he's from Texas. I didn't know he's from San Antonio. So now the first people are coming out, right? It's such an insane... Can you explain what the Royal Rumble is for like two seconds, the people who...
The Royal Rumble is a wrestling match which occurs in usually in January as part of a big pay-per-view.
Yes.
Where a bunch of wrestlers end up in the ring at the same time. They come out one by one. I think there's like 30 people. They come out by random draw, and you have to throw them over the top rope. And then traditionally, the winner of the WWF at this time, or WWE Royal Rumble, gets a title match with the champion at WrestleMania.
Yeah, this is sort of the second biggest event of the year, and WrestleMania is the Super Bowl of wrestling.
Now, who are these guys that are coming into the ring now, Keeve?
I don't know. They should really show. They should have a graphic on screen, but they didn't show any graphics. If you ever watch an old football game, there's never any like, here's the score. You can go 20 minutes without knowing how much time is left in the quarter.
Yes. I'm not sure what that guy's name is, but he has a whole posse.
And I don't know who just came out, but I know I just got like, I just had a seizure. There's so many lights on me.
And now here comes some other figure. Is this, who is this coming out now?
I think I have to get the wiki up for these guys, but I will say it is such an insane disadvantage to come out first or second in one of these when you could just come out 30th and not do any of the work and still win.
Okay. So, Keith, I think I'm ready to call this. I'm not sure if the 1997 Royal Rumble is working as a podcast.
Oh, man. I feel like if you had just given us two more minutes, we would have been crushing
it. Maybe we dodged a bullet.
Okay. Well, we would have had fun. The listeners probably dodged a bullet.
Yeah. The listeners might have dodged a bullet.
All right. By the way, the first two people for those scoring at home were Crush. Yeah. But you know what it is? We might have gone 1 year too early. Maybe the 98 one we would have known the people. Because do you remember Crush? I don't remember Crush.
Vaguely. And who is this other guy that came out?
Ahmed Johnson.
Ahmed Johnson.
Yeah. He was like an NFL player who like, I don't remember these guys at all. And they didn't become anything.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well.
And the third guy.
Look,
is fake Razor Ramon, not even the real Razor Ramon. And the fourth guy is Phineas I. Godwin.
Okay.
So four irrelevant nobodies. And then the fifth guy is friggin' Stone Cold Steve Austin, the greatest man who ever lived.
Might have been exciting. So, look, if somebody can come up with some way for us to cover Attitude Era wrestling, then I'm into it. But this is not it, unfortunately.
This was the problem is 97 is the dark ages. There's guys, Bart Gunn, Pyroth, Mil Mascaris. I mean, Cybernetico, the Latin Lover.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys that nobody cares about. Fake Diesel, not even the real Diesel. Nobody would have cared if it was. Oh, you know who Fake Diesel was, though?
Who?
The mayor of Knox County, Tennessee himself, Kane.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the mayor of Slamtown.
No, not the mayor of Slamtown. Kane, who's now, been like a big guy for like 22 years in there.
Sure.
And is also the mayor in Tennessee in real life was Fake Diesel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we've thrown the 1997. This Bye-bye. Is a little bit like a idea Royal Rumble right now going on.
Yes, it is.
Although we're not going to say just one is going to make it. But then we also have a fake character Royal Rumble.
I think we could say goodbye.
Yeah. Is there like some sort of Brant Steele for Royal Rumble? I don't know.
Right, that's what we asked. But nobody ever sent that in. So I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Get rid of that. That's over the top as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
The next one up, I think, has to come on.
All right.
The next one up is Jeopardy.
All right. So how was this going to work? I know that there has been tweets about this at various points. So me and you and a third party are playing a Jeopardy game?
Yes, we're going to play Jeopardy, especially pick questions by our host. I guess the host would be, it could be someone who's been on Jeopardy. We could get Alex Jacob or Jessica Lease, you know, people in your orbit who have been on Jeopardy would probably do it. The problem is we didn't have a good third guest because people would say like, hey, do it against Jessica Lease. Like, yeah. And then we should have a one on one against friggin' LeBron James. Like, this is a terrible idea.
Yes. Right.
Now, I have an idea.
Okay.
But my idea is so good, I think.
Yes.
That you might even have to cut this out.
Okay. What's your idea?
Here's my idea.
Put the Jeopardy test, Akiva's Jeopardy test out there to the world so we can find our third member of the Jeopardy game. And then is our host just going to make up a Jeopardy game about things that...
No. Okay. They're going to take a Jeopardy game from the last few years. Maybe they'll mix and match like categories. Like they'll take full categories. But,
Some of their favorite Jeopardy things from the last five years.
Maybe we could get that aren't incredibly easy but aren't. Like, you know, 18th century Renaissance art or something that we don't know. And
stuff
I don't know
that
if that's what the
interesting to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Great.
And maybe one round and not two, right? I think we could do 30 questions, not 60 probably.
Do you want to wait 1 week until you get the Jeopardy quiz out there in the hands of Chester?
No, I think we could put it on the board now.
Okay. Because if this comes up hypothetically next week, I would have to use the veto because we will not be ready for next week's episode.
Listen, we like to live on the wild. So, no, I think it might be ready for next week's episode.
Okay. All right. Let's see. All right. There you go.
I'd have to scramble. I got nothing else going on.
All right. Here we go. Jeopardy. Boom. Making progress.
All right. All right. So, we are really
like
ripping
Judge
through this
Judy
wheel.
Just being able to, you know, crack the whip of justice and make things happen right away.
Yeah. Should we be playing for something in Jeopardy also?
Like what?
I don't know. A lot of money.
A lot of money?
I wish we had like a rich listener who could just like put up money when we had these silly ideas. Like, yeah, I'll give like $1,000 to the winner. Maybe someone will write in. If you're rich and you're listening,
yeah,
write in. And
well,
just
we need the sponsors to pony up some prize money.
Come on, MeUndies. Give us some cash.
All right, so Jeopardy is going on the wheel. All right.
What about best podcast guest?
Best podcast guest. The challenge of who can find the best guest.
Yeah.
No, I don't like this idea.
It seems like a lot of work. I think it's a funny idea in practice, but it seems like too much work for me.
Funny idea.
I have anxiety
practice.
Just thinking about having to book that episode.
Yeah. So I'm saying no. Get this one out of here.
Nasty, vicious, drunk.
Okay. What about actor versus actor? This was like Matt Damon versus Ben Affleck. We're analyzing two actors and deciding who the winner is. Who's had the better career?
I don't know if I'm qualified for this.
Yeah. Well, could we get a third person on? Is Bill Simmons available? So anyone from The Ringer. This seems very Ringer-y to me.
You know what?
Can we sell them this idea?
Could we get The Ringer staff to weigh in on some categories? Like maybe what if we did an episode where we come up with some questions that the Ringer staff could weigh in on of like
but nobody tell them that we're usually like mean to them. Don't at them and tell them that.
Yeah, don't at them.
Do we have any connects to The Ringer though? Like, do we have any?
I don't think so.
Like, if anybody out there is like best friends with like Mallory Rubin, the mother of dragons,
like, haven't you wondered at all? Like, what were the best gifts of the decade? And then what have the whole
just
Ringer
about
staff?
The TV show Succession?
Yeah. I think we have every single person that you never even knew worked at The Ringer. They could all be talking about, giving their answers, and all these people that you never heard of. We could get to hear what they think in some 8-minute video. And then there could also just be like shots of like different people laughing after one person says a thing. And then they could just like tweet the video over and over and over again.
Yeah. I'm not sure if we're selling them so much here. Yeah, what about like a lot of people talking about basketball, but it's clear that some of them just started following basketball like 6 months ago?
Yeah. So, okay. I don't know if there's enough here. So, no, I don't like actor versus actor.
Okay, bye-bye actor versus actor. Live analysis of Seinfeld is next up. That is Akiva and Rob. That's us.
Yeah.
Listening to our first ever Seinfeld episode and doing like a live talkover on it.
You can't do a talkover on another podcast of the same people talking. It's not going to work.
You're a bum.
I think it would be good. It would be great. It would be my favorite episode. What about eBay? We discussed this last week. We didn't really have a good idea. I'm kicking this off the wheel. No eBay.
Sorry.
You did the wrong thing.
And all these things are eligible to come back if someone tweaks the idea and has something more.
Get out of my waiting room.
What about the Guinness Book of World Records podcast?
No, I don't think that there is a Guinness Book of World Records that is attainable.
Mm-hmm. What about the most podcasts about Judge Judy? So far, we're at one. Do you think there's a Judge Judy podcast out there?
That's
I didn't even check.
It could be daily. That's a good idea.
You'd never run out of content.
Yeah, that would have been a good
missed
one.
A week.
That would have been a good one to talk about every single.
But also, do you have to go back and start at the beginning? Because that could take forever.
Yeah, I do think that there would be a very small Venn diagram of the number of people that are watching Judge Judy daily and also listening to podcasts. I think that would be first.
Yeah, we even know what podcasts
very
are.
Very small number. I think that might be Christine. That could be it. So the Judge Judy podcast, these are all Judge Judy appearing as a guest on podcast, but no, there does not appear to be any sort of daily Judge Judy podcast. Interesting.
Stuff Mom Never Told You has an episode, Judge Judy Problematic Faves, but I don't think she's on this episode.
Yeah. What, Judge Judy had a problematic phase?
She's a problematic fave.
She's a problematic fave? She's a fave of
the
problematic?
Well, I don't know. I think that's just the name of the series. I don't think she's problematic.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's the name of the podcast. I can't tell.
Whatever. A Judge Judy Shinlin podcast would be great. Would she sue us? Would it be the unauthorized Judge Judy podcast?
Yeah, she would. She seems a little litigious, and I don't think she'd take us to Judge Judy court.
Why would she be litigious of our Judge Judy recap podcast?
Yeah, no, I guess she wouldn't
especially
care.
Especially if we called it like Don't Piss on My Leg and Tell Me It's Raining. It's the name of her book, but I don't know what we have to come up with her catchphrases that's not trademarked and call it that.
Yeah, answer the yes or no.
Judy cast, we could call it or something like that.
Okay, we'll work on the name. Alrighty. Next up, Leprechaun 2. I guess that just waits until we're 10 episodes after, which might be this week. I don't even know.
I don't think so. Not yet. But okay.
This is episode 16, right? What was episode 6? We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Okay. Netflix original movie.
I think
you want to watch a Netflix original movie?
I think we have to, come up with the actual movie and then we'll judge it.
Kick that off.
As opposed to, we're doing a Netflix movie. Okay. Now what movie? Like, it's got to be better defined.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The banter episode, a.k.a. I Can't Believe It's Just Banter.
Yes, I'd say let's do it.
All right, perfect. I mean, it sounds like a delight because we'd have no work to do that week.
Okay, but are we preparing a little bit? Like, are you coming in with, some
maybe
anecdotes?
A game each or something. Anecdotes, game. We'd have to at least, go outside our house and, live
game.
Life that week.
Game is not banter.
Okay, you're right. Game is not banter. But we would have to at least have some prepared, like if we were going to a dinner party, like some, some interesting conversation, like maybe we'll leave our house that week, go out to the world and sort of, try and have something interesting happen to us so that we have something to talk about.
Right. Right. So it's like, okay, so, what did you do this week? Okay. That's banter. So
all right. That could be next week's episode. Yeah. We're putting that on the wheel.
I'd say let's put it.
Yeah.
Put it
can't
on.
Believe
the,
it's,
what's it
can't
called?
Believe it's just, I can't believe it's just banter. All right.
Boy, I can't believe it's just banter. Could be
filling up the wheel.
Revolutionary. All banter.
Yeah, two guys talking about nothing. Two white dudes talking about nothing. First podcast ever. The D&D podcast. I'm going to say we just did Star Wars. I think this can go on eventually, but first of all, I don't know if Steven's around, but, and I can't do two nerdy things back.
What
to back,
I believe
no
we said was that we were waiting until the new year for Steven to be back from his honeymoon to then. Okay. Get into it. I know a lot of people then were reaching out that you said, well, we need somebody who's going to be managing Steven. And then there was a lot of people that were reaching out. Hey, I'm your person.
Yeah,
to
we have a lot
Steven.
Of people want to be the head guy.
Not the head guy. The guy that's sort of making sure Steven is prepared.
Oh, okay. We also want have a lot of people who want to be the leader of the show. I don't know what that
right,
is.
Right, right. The
Shut
Dungeon
Up Tim really wants to do that. I think he could be our guy. I think Shut Up Tim might be our guy for that episode.
Well, let's hold off on that. Let's just make sure.
Did you
sure
think Shut Up Tim was cool, though?
What's that?
Like, I didn't know he was, like, into that stuff. I thought he was, like, a cool guy.
We have too many other people vying for this. Shut Up Tim, we have a million other things that we could use him for.
Okay. Next up on the list, it says prank calling people.
Okay, what was the response to this?
Very big. We have at least 50 phone numbers. Last week, to explain, we said that I would get people... we're going to do an episode where we just call the listeners.
Okay.
We said prank call, but I don't think, like, maybe we'll prank call someone, but I don't think it's just going to be prank calls. I think a lot of it's just going to be talking to the listeners.
Yeah, I think we'll start off on a prank, see how long it goes, and then when they realize it's us, then we'll just, check in.
It's been pointed out that most young people do not answer their phone. So we may, like, I don't know if we're going to be texting people or we're just going to get a lot of, like, Taylor Cotter said she could do it, but she said you have to text her first.
We'll call it prank calls, but we're just calling people and let's see where it goes.
Sure. So we got over 50 phone numbers. We are set to do it, but you will not know because we're going to call people beforehand. They're not going to expect our calls.
Right.
So we will, although that's kind of backfiring because if they were expecting our calls, they would actually answer their phone.
Okay.
If we're not pranking them.
Well, we'll see.
So maybe we shouldn't
do
that.
We'll see how it goes.
But we're putting that on the wheel, right? Because we already went to the effort to get
their
numbers.
You already have the phone numbers from people? Is this already part of the dating thing?
No. Rob, listen, I'm nothing if not at least awake. I tweeted this week and I said, hey, we're doing something which is called, calling the listeners episode. Here's a Google form. It just says your name, email address. I don't even really need the email address. Name, email address, and phone number. If you're interested, sign up and maybe one day we'll call you. And over 50 people already signed up last I checked.
Okay. Okay.
So put that on the wheel. Calling the listeners. We do need a better name. If you have a better name for that than calling the listeners or prank calls or whatever.
Okay.
Let us know. But yeah. All right. So we just added already three things. Jeopardy. Can't believe it's not banter and calling the listeners. Couple more things in the wheel waiting room. Shaq Attack. That is a Shaquille O'Neal retrospective. I say keep this in the waiting room. Here are my things. Are we going to watch one of the Shaq movies? Because I think that's sort of necessary to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to listen to like at least a song or two from Shaq's album.
Yeah.
Assuming he had one. But also, I do think that we should try out the Jonathan Taylor Thomas episode first and see if that works before we put Shaq on the wheel. Because I think this is sort of... I don't know. I mean, it's not that simple.
Did we have a Shaq expert?
Again, I think this was Shut Up Tim's idea, so he wanted to be a Shaq expert.
Did he want to be? I thought he disavowed being the Shaq expert on Twitter.
He did. He's also not a sports guy, but we got an email from a guy, Adi, who said he doesn't have time to rewatch everything necessary to volunteer as our Shaq expert, but he wants to recommend, and he gives us recommendations. So we don't have a Shaq expert there yet. So we're going to put, I think we should leave this in the waiting room for now.
Okay.
The next time we go through the waiting room. All right. Two more and then we could spin the wheel. Ranking the Toy Story movies. There was definitely a positive reaction to this other than people hated my list.
There was a definite negative reaction to your list.
Positive reaction to the idea. Negative reaction to like me being involved because people thought I was dumb for correctly saying that Toy Story 2 is the best, at least for kids, Toy Story film.
That is the least popular of the Toy Story films at my house also.
I don't want to like insult your children, but they're very wrong.
I guess if you hate Buzz Lightyear, yeah, I guess that's probably would be the most popular.
One is too scary. Three is also scary. They're going to get incinerated. That's spooky. Two, it's like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen?
My kids don't really ever make it that far Newman into the movie.
I've also seen Toy Story 2 over 100 times because that was the only movie we had when I was a teacher.
Mm-hmm. After school.
We had like... After school, I've probably told the story, but yeah, I've seen it over 100 times. Okay, the only thing is, I think we'd have to watch the three movies. I don't know how this works.
This is not a good podcast. Okay. If you want to do something else with Toy Story, I'm open to it, but ranking the Toy Story, we're watching, six and a half hours of film.
It's too much, right?
To come up with a list of, one, two, three,
Okay.
So the juice is not worth the squeeze. You want to do something with Toy Story? I'm open to it, but this is not it.
Yeah, I guess we could just play with the toys. I don't know. By the way, my son has gotten so into Ryan's toy review since I made him watch one episode for this show.
Very addictive. Big mistake.
He has seen them all. He's obsessed.
Seen them all? He's a completist? He's like the Chester of Ryan's toy review?
I don't know if he's a completist. I don't know if he like fully binged Ryan's toy review or Ryan toys review or whatever.
Yeah, do you have any new takes on Ryan?
I just hear it because he just watches, like, the only time he's watching, I'm not like watching it with him. But there's, you know, this Baby Shark song that I managed to avoid?
Yes.
Like, he sings it. So then my son started singing it. So my son, I didn't let him watch the song. I assume it's just a YouTube video. But then Ryan starts singing it, and now he's into Baby Shark. So, like, he's getting my son into other annoying things in addition to himself. And he is the Baby Shark of people.
Yeah. We have Ryan figures at my house.
Oh, boy. Well, luckily my son hasn't put two and two together, because it is his birthday today. So he could have.
Birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Noam. He could have asked for Ryan figures, but instead he asked for the bad guys from PJ Masks. He wants the Night Ninja figures.
Yeah. And on the Ryan videos, they actually, like, the mom in one of the videos is like, okay, I'm going into Target to go buy the Ryan toys, and here's where they are in the store, and make sure you go to the Target and look right over here, because that's where the stores are. And my three-year-old is like, Dad, can we go to Target and buy Ryan's
toys? Oh, my son watches that one. Forget it. Then I'm going to have to buy Ryan. By the way, I will put my foot down. I'd sooner build the shrine to Caillou. And by one Ryan's toy review video. All right, last thing in the wheel waiting room was a podcast we came up with last week. It's called Is It Murder If It's War?
Are you sure this wasn't with Chester?
No, this was with you last
week. With me? Is It Murder If It's War?
Joking thing. We were talking about something about murdering, and they're like, well, it was in the course of war, so I don't know if, and then we said, that maybe is not a topic for now. We could put it in the wheel waiting room. So there you go. Is It Murder If It's War?
Yeah. I will never want to do that podcast. Hey, throw it. Get it out of my courtroom.
I like that you right at least, now. You know.
Do not speak. Okay. Do we understand each other?
Judge Judy, I have a question for you. Is it murder if it's war?
You do not get away with that attitude with me.
Yeah. All right. So to sum up, murder, we put on...
If it's war.
That's such a good idea. We put on... Jeopardy. We're going to play Jeopardy.
Yeah.
We will have a test. I will post it on Twitter and on the our HAP Facebook group, and people can take the test.
Okay.
We will have a banter, aka I can't believe it's not banter. That's just Rob and I talking and calling the listeners. We have 50 listeners' phone numbers. What can we do with this? You know, Facebook really got everyone's info, Rob.
Yeah.
And they were able to sort of monetize that. Now we have 50 listeners' phone numbers. Other than calling them for an episode, like, can we monitor? Can we just, like, should we put them on an unwilling text chain and text them every time there's a new episode?
Let's text them and tell them that we're in Florida, we've been arrested, and we need a lawyer.
Yes.
And we are overextended, and we need them to send us money so we can get a lawyer, so we can get out of problems.
Was it ever clear how much money he asked for? I don't remember.
I think it was that she had sent him, like, $1,500, something like that.
Okay. All right, yeah, we'll make it something realistic, like $950.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I don't want to just split $950 two ways, me and you. That's right, we're splitting this. It's got to be more. It's got to be worth a while. It's got to be $2,000, I think.
Okay. All right.
So we added those three things. We kicked a lot of things off the waiting room. We got five things still in the waiting room, but I think that's a very manageable number.
Not to mention Riverdale ping pong ball going into the fishbowl.
So congratulations. But would it be fun if we put that in, but like didn't allow Kirsten to be the person?
No,
we like Kirsten. We're Kirstans. A couple other quick updates for season 3, episode 7. We have some guests that were confirmed that we never mentioned on air. For Gilmore Girls, if we do that, Lita Brillman will be our Gilmore Girls expert. For Real World, season 3, episode 7. Allie Lasher will be our...
What if she's already millennial judge?
She can't be on two podcasts? Well, I got bad news. I did get a DM from Allie saying, can I trade? She wants to trade episodes.
Trade episodes? What? Judge for what?
No, she doesn't know about millennial judge yet. I did not tell her. We've been on air. I did not tell her about millennial judge yet. I'm sure she'll be thrilled. But
I thought you were communicating with all these people in real time, like Christine.
I mean, with Christine, that was for the show. She was sort of our sidekick here. But No, so Ally Lasher doesn't want to be on Real World. She wants to be on it, but she wants to switch to the MTV 90s shows, Next, Room Raiders, Parental Control, Date My Mom.
Okay, and so who's going to be on Real World now?
Well, as I pointed out, I spent about an hour looking for Real World Season 3, Episode 7. I couldn't find it. So right now, nobody.
Okay.
Because right now, I cannot.
We don't have the
I need an assistant. To help me with things like get links for
all
these.
Right. Oh, okay. So what about an episode on the wheel where we screen an assistant for Akiva?
How does the episode work? We just have people come in and we try and pick out. I mean, is that really an in-demand job? I feel like.
I don't know. Does somebody want to be that?
Akiva needs an assistant. Maybe when we call people up, we'll ask them if they want to be my assistant.
Okay. I guess that maybe it's not an episode of the podcast, but if you have a strong desire to help out Akiva with getting set up for the podcast, then let us know.
Yeah. All right, fine. So Ally Lasher, we're moving her. Are we officially moving her to the next Room Raiders?
You work out all the details here.
Okay. And then, Kirsten's on Riverdale. We don't have a Family Matters expert. If you're a big Urkel stan out there, let us know.
We did manage to get through 180 podcasts of Seinfeld without any experts.
Oh, Rob's getting mad about the guests again, guys.
Look, we don't need a guest every single episode.
You're right. Mike Bloom has not pitched himself on an episode in weeks also.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I hope he's okay.
I think he's all right. You know, it's a lot going on.
All right, let's spin this wheel.
Okay. All right. So let's, add our new things to the wheel, and we'll go through everything that's here and talk about what could potentially be in the mix as we head into our first episode of 2019 here on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. I definitely would have taken the under if you would have told me over under 14 and a half episodes of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, when were you taking this bet? Like, before the podcast existed?
Probably right, like in August.
Yeah, I definitely would have taken
the under. We'll get like
four or five.
Because
even when we were doing
it, yeah,
at the beginning, we were sort of like doing 1 week on, 1 week off, 1 week on, 2 weeks off, I think we did.
Yeah, because part of the conceit of this was like, well, it's the kind of thing where if we don't do it 1 week, then it's not a big deal. And I think we only missed like 1 week.
Yeah, we're pretty good.
Yeah,
I do think. Now, what's the over under for episodes in 2019?
I'd say the over under is probably 42 and a half.
Yeah, that's about where I would set the under. But I might go over 42 and a half. That's a lot of weeks you could take off and still win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I think Vegas might set it at like 45 and a half.
45 and a half. By the way, Keith, my kids watched Home Alone and we're not scared.
Okay, Marvin Harry, not scary.
Not
but maybe,
scary.
You know.
More they were I mean, they were more way more scared of Shovel Guy.
Yeah, Shovel Guy is scary. Yeah, obviously he is. You should be scared of Shovel Guy. For whatever reason, he was never in my closet when I was a kid. Only Marvin Harry were.
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin getting flying a little too close to the sun right now, if you haven't noticed on social media.
Right, yeah.
He was gone for 30 years. Now he's back and he's like pretending that he's never been gone and he just wants to like go viral every day. I'm not buying this, Macaulay.
Yeah. What's his end game?
I mean, I guess like get a lot of endorsement deals on social media, like Sling Fit Tea. I'm not sure. I think he wants to be the dad in a Home Alone reboot, if I had to guess.
Yeah, Home Alone reboot. I was trying to think of this the other day. I had a couple of pitches.
It would absolutely destroy. It would crush it.
It would crush it. Home Alone crush reboot. It. So here's a couple of things I got.
Evangeline Wallace.
What?
You don't know her? She's from that movie. She's like a girl. She was big a couple of years ago.
Evangeline Wallace?
Evangeline Wallace. She could be she might be too old now. I don't know how old she is. How old is Macaulay Culkin? Is he 10 in that movie?
I think he's supposed to be 8.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of child actors, okay. But I feel
what is this name? Evangeline Wallace?
Evangeline. Just, I think that's her last name. What's the name of that movie?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You don't know Evangeline? She was like all over the Oscars a couple years ago. Beasts of the Southern Wild. Google Beasts of the Southern Wild and Evangeline will come up.
Okay.
Born 2003. You know what? She's too old. She's 15. Forget it.
All right.
I'm sorry, Evangeline. You'll be the big sister.
So here's where we start. Grown up, Macaulay Culkin is back as Kevin McAllister. Adult Kevin McAllister.
Okay.
And so I have a couple of ideas. So one is Kevin McAllister is now the world's greatest cat burglar. He uses his ability to make traps and being a sociopath for evil. He grew up to be this generation's Marvin Harry.
I thought you say Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison.
Walking around doing something much different than that.
And he did get into legal trouble at one point, Marvin Harrison, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just say. don't walk up on Marvin in a dark alley.
So
he's in the Hall of Fame for football and for alleged murders. Okay, keep going.
Was it during war?
Listen, I mean, I think it was a fight over like money. So I don't know.
I'm surprised you weren't arrested.
Okay, I think he might have been.
I think he was. Okay. I think he was. Yeah.
That being said, so is Macaulay Culkin? Okay, so he is, or is he sort of a down on his luck thief, or is he down on his luck in life? And then he runs into Marvin Harry and they convince him to go on one last heist. And
ooh, you love like, the one last heist with like Pesci. And what's it, like, Pesci and Daniel Stern? Do you know that they did a commercial for Google Home that Macaulay Culkin is in? You saw this commercial?
That. I didn't see that.
Oh, so that's why he's been in the news the last few weeks.
He's been in the news for a million different things.
Yes, they got Pesci's voice for this Google Home commercial. No Daniel Stern. They didn't show Pesci.
Yeah, but
Stern was totally
Daniel
written
Stern,
out of the
he
commercial.
Retired from show business?
Listen, one last job, Rob. He's coming back for one last job. I mean, you could throw Stern $1 million. He's showing up.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, they're like, kid, you were the best. You thought of things that we never even thought of. And they recruit him. And now it's almost like that they're all working together on one last heist.
Incredible.
And that they have this house and it's Shovel Guy's estranged daughter's house, and they don't realize it. And then Shovel Guy's granddaughter is fighting off the two guys and Kevin McAllister.
All right, I love it. Daniel Stern is—he's not even old; he's like 60. He's not retired.
61. Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel Stern now does not look unlike the guy that got the bad haircut on Judge Judy.
Yeah.
That might have been the comp I was looking for.
By the way, Daniel Stern, my number one Daniel Stern memory is in camp. They took us to a movie, like every summer, and they took us to Bushwhacked starring Daniel Stern.
Mm.
And even as like a little kid, I was like, oh, this is like atrocious. I was 11.
Yeah.
Like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. How could we like have paid? We paid for 200 tickets to see this. That was probably the whole box office of that movie ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Daniel Stern now hiding in your closet might be way more terrifying.
Oh, yeah, that would be scary.
All right. So I don't know. We got Home Alone reboots. I don't know if we're putting that on the wheel. Okay. CSI New York, season 3, episode 7. We are up to now 5 spots back on the wheel for season 3, episode 7. Coin flip, mm-hmm. Oregon Trail, rise and fall of JTT. Do we have a JTT correspondent?
Yeah, someone wrote in last week.
Okay, that's locked in.
Well, I haven't
in.
Heard from them since, so maybe they disappeared, like JTT.
Shut up, Tim is on standby. Price is Right, Conspirapod, TV show theme song bracket, MTV shows are trash, April 3rd, 1994, and now we are adding to the wheel Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. We are adding to the wheel, I can't believe it's all banter.
Just banter.
Okay. And then we are also adding to the wheel prank call. So a lot of stuff on the mm-hmm. wheel right now.
Yeah. The wheel is full. Also, Dan the benefactor, made us a podcast wheel, but we have not added next week.
You know, 2019. Can our resolution be
Christmas? Can our resolution? Yeah. I've been celebrating Christmas. Can our resolution for 2019, to one of them be to use Dan's wheel?
Yes.
Starting next week.
Yes.
Okay.
In all fairness, that you know, we're everybody's very lucky. We're even getting a podcast this week. This was you know, a supposed to be a light week.
Fair enough.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So let's get the wheel ready to go. All right. So let's see what comes up for the first podcast here in 2019 on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast.
Round Rob's and round. Got that veto.
She goes.
In a sock, Bill Belichick style.
Yes. All right, Keev. Ooh, this could be the closest call we've had yet that I want to say. That this is almost, you tell me, I mean, this could be going for a booth review of This is like,
do you want to screenshot it to me? Because
yeah,
I can't see it.
I'm going to screenshot it to you.
It's unbelievable.
This is as close to being on the line as we've ever had. Although,
well, tell me what the two things are.
The wheel does make a call here. Okay. That it is super close between two, but it has made made a call between two ones that are CSI New York and Coin Flip.
Okay.
But that the wheel does say that the winner for next week is CSI New York.
Now, do you want to veto this?
Interesting. So CSI New York.
Well, here's the thing about CSI New York. If for listeners who are new, CSI New York was originally the idea was originally that we would watch
a spin-off. Oh, no, I think you're going to explain what CSI New York
is.
Oh,
yeah. Can you explain what CSI New York is, please? Yes. And then I'll explain what
CSI
the podcast
New York
is.
CSI stands for Crime Scene Investigators. And so there was originally
I think it's investigation.
A show. It was a procedural drama that aired on CBS starting the year 2000. Who was the main guy? Mark Harmon?
Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
Gary Sinise.
Okay. CSI regular I'm talking about.
Oh, I don't know. That's a hard... William the Schmengenberg. I don't know.
Yeah. And so then there was a spinoff of that, which was very popular as well, called CSI Miami. And then there was a third or second spinoff, a third CSI series.
Slightly less popular.
Which was called CSI New York, which was led by Gary Sinise.
Mm-hmm.
And so once upon a time, one of the visions for this podcast was that we were going to watch the same episode of CSI New York over and over and over again.
Every week. An amazing idea, honestly.
Okay, this version of the podcast was that you and I were going to watch every single segment of CSI New York.
And then podcast
about what is going on in the procedural drama.
Yeah, we'd watch it basically during the podcast, and we'd pause, watch it, and then come back and sort of predict what was going to happen, which is a fine idea. Can I pitch something that you're going to detest?
What's that?
What if, because this is not your busy season, what if we did a mini version of the old idea where we like watched it every day during the week and we like did like four mini podcasts, but we put a time limit on the podcast.
And then we release them like day after day after day.
No. We release one episode, but we're watching it like four different times.
Keeve, I've got this veto here in my sock.
Yeah, you got the veto.
I'm taking it out. I'm throwing the veto.
Oh my God, he's vetoed. But listen, it's still on the wheel. So what do you think about my idea in general?
It's still on the wheel, but yes.
I think it's a great idea. Like, imagine we watch the episode, we come out, we give like 20 minutes of feedback. The next day...
CSI New York. I need to live my life. I need to.
This is your life, Rob. This is the peak. You're going to look back when you're an old man and you'll be like, do you remember the good old days?
I wish I would have got some more stuff done in my life. I wish I didn't stop down to spend hours and hours.
Nobody's ever been on their deathbed and been like, I wish I watched three less episodes of CSI New York. No one's ever said that.
I don't know. All right. I threw my veto. Can't take with you. We're going back to the wheel.
I hope it lands on CSI New York again.
It comes up again. What are you going to do?
That's what the Lord intended.
All right. So.
Spin it again.
Back to the wheel. Here we go.
That was amazing. Coin flip lost the coin flip.
Kickoff 2019.
CSI New York.
Okay. Here we go. Spin number two of the wheel.
Okay.
Here we go. All right, second spin.
Five spots to season three, episode seven.
Okay. We have prank calls.
Oh, boy.
All right.
According to what we said last week, we said we would go into the episode right now.
Right now?
That's what we said last week. Do you listen to this podcast?
We're going to start making calls to people right now.
No, I don't want to. It's 1:40 in the morning for me right now,
yes.
So no.
Okay. All right. So are we doing this?
I mean, we have literally no choice. We'd have to end the podcast.
We have literally no choice. I mean that I'm not going to post this podcast probably until Monday morning.
Well, I think because it's not prank calls and not everybody listens right away. Plus, I posted on Twitter. It wasn't like people responded from the group. So a lot of people won't ever listen, possibly.
Yeah.
They're just like attention whores who want us to call us on a podcast. some of them are listeners, that I think we could post it without any sort of fear of someone 3 hours in hearing this and sort of, I don't know. Okay. I don't know what
so
I'm
you
saying.
And I will figure out the logistics of how we're going to do this.
Yeah, the listeners don't have to worry about that. But you could have already been called by the time you're hearing this, but maybe not.
Okay. All right. So you and I are going to make some phone calls at some point here in the near future.
Do you have an idea? Like, is this going to work logistically? Like, we'll be able to hear them?
Yeah, I mean, I can just call somebody on a patch in a call. It'd be like the same.
Yeah,
as
I mean, it'll be a slightly annoying for you to edit, but you know, most of these are pretty straightforward. So.
Right. It would be you know, just the same logistics of having any of your you know, precious guests on the podcast.
Well, no, because usually the precious guests would pick up once. This is going to be like us calling Johnny De Silvera and him like being at work and not answering, and then you have to cut that out.
Okay, we will work.
Times like 12.
We will work on this. We'll figure it out.
Are we going to call everyone who wrote in?
Everyone?
Isn't that what you said? That we'd call every single person who wrote in?
I didn't think we were going to make 50 phone calls.
Well, I didn't really. You didn't really say that. I'm not actually. You didn't. You never said that. I'm just trying to trick you.
Okay.
Yeah, we have 47 responses right now.
All right.
But we're not taking more. I looked and I see who's last, and that's it.
All right. So we will figure out a way to do this.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
Can I go back to CSI listeners. New York?
you definitely cannot. Are you regretting now? You know why? Because is it too much work to call the listeners?
It's not too much work, but if we're going to call the listeners before this podcast,
we don't have to call it before the podcast goes up. Yeah. We don't have to.
Okay.
Or if you want, you can postpone the posting of this podcast for a couple days.
Okay. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out in between. Yeah. This is an off-air conversation that we'll work through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
All right. Keeve, anything else going on? Week 17 at the NFL, I mean, based on if we're postponing, long over since this podcast is going on.
Yes. Sam Darnold broke the record for passing yards in a game, and the Jets lost.
Nice.
Perfect. Literally exactly what we wanted.
Okay. All right. So let's see that again. So congratulations to the Patriots on earning a bye and beating the Jets. And Keeve, what else? And email the podcast, Robin Akiva or Nita Podcast at robinswebsite.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or RAANAP at robinswebsite.com also works. People send it there.
All right. Sounds good. Keeve, anything else?
No. I mean, what was the best Christmas present you got?
I just tell my wife what to get me at this point. That I've taken the element of being surprised out of the equation.
Now, my wife's birthday, I hope she's not listening, is next week.
Yeah, your wife is probably listening 2.5 hours into
the like, no, but I mean, like physically, because it's late at night and I'm yelling, so she might be able to hear me.
Yeah.
So I emailed my mother-in-law. And I said, like, hey, what should I get your daughter? And she's ghosting me. She literally never responded to my email. Mm. Like, that's the question you want to get from your son. Like, ooh, I've been waiting my whole life to answer this question.
Yeah.
Am I being ghosted by my mother-in-law? Is she mad at me about something?
I can't imagine.
Well, like, I did.
Maybe she's trying to find out the answer
recently.
And get back to you.
I know. She would say that, though. She's like, ooh, let me think. That's what she would say.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to think if she's mad at me about something. Doesn't nobody ever didn't get an email? Like, it's not like I show up as spam.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe she's off for a couple of days.
Like, off for what? She's celebrating Christmas?
I don't know. I hear some people have downtime and they don't do anything.
No, if you have downtime, you better answer your emails. It's not a work email. Also, she uses an AOL email address. So do you think she stopped that
maybe
in like
you're
the last
spam.
Few months? I could show up as spam. She might be mad at me. Maybe she realized my daughter was the best student in her high school and was the star of the basketball team and was had a 4.0 in college and had all this potential. And then she met this guy and this does a podcast or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's sort of come around 15 years later and she's very disappointed.
Possibly.
She's not responding to my emails.
Yes.
I mean, being ghosted by your mother-in-law, that's not great. It's a new low for me. If she's really ghosting me.
Yes. Keeve, also at the time of recording this, I'm seeing that there's some reports that the Jets will fire Todd Bowles.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. okay.
I have to go. I saw a horrible take from Steve Serby of the Post. The Jets need to go out and win one for Todd. Like, why?
Steve, so if people don't know, the New York Post has guys who've been at the paper since like the age of the printing press was invented. They're on Twitter, but they're eggs. They have like 3,000 followers, but they're literally Twitter eggs. And they have like not, yeah. By the way, Steve Serby, I was making a joke. He is literally a Twitter egg. He is like a columnist for the number, like the third biggest paper in the country. And he's an egg person on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay.
Like could he bother
could
to post
Todd Bowles be the third person in our Jeopardy game?
He will have some free time in, starting on Monday. I do love people complain about like, oh, you can't like be excited when coaches get fired. I love it. I love Black Monday. I love when the coaches get fired. These guys all make eight figures, so I'm not worried about their families. They should have generational wealth if they've, you know, not spent all their money. I like when there's like every 5 minutes, like Adam Schefter tweets out, so-and-so get fired. Like, he'll be fine. He could go to ESPN and make $1 million a year. I'm worried about him. He should be worried
Todd
about
Bowles
me.
Todd Bowles on ESPN?
No, he wouldn't. But no, Todd Bowles could get a defensive coordinator job tomorrow.
Sure.
No?
Yeah, I guess
he'll
so.
Be fine. He'll make $1.5 million a year. I'm going to feel bad for this guy because he got fired? No.
Okay. Okay.
You should feel bad for you listening 3 hours in to us talking about Todd Bowles or me.
All right. Akiva, I guess, yes. In the words of Judge Judy.
Period. End of discussion.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Happy New Year. Take care. Bye.
Bye.